Blog Talk Radio.
Do you believe that America has become too politically correct? Von Wehhunt speaks truth to power. Do you see the coming of our political and economic demise? Von Wehhunt speaks bluntly about the need to correct America's course quickly. And now, broadcasting from the Eagle's Nest, a man who makes no excuses for putting America first. Here's your host, Von Wehhunt the Barbarian.
America, welcome again to another great episode of the Von Wehhunt Show, episode 140 tonight. Now, there's tens of hundreds of these shows when I used to broadcast here in Phoenix, KFNX, 1100 AM, that are on the internet. You can find them by going to Google and just checking out the old shows, and SoundCloud's got many as well. Well, tonight our star date is February the 2nd. 2023 AD, and tonight's theme is the Death Star Explodes. Wow, are you in for a treat tonight? We're going to have Joe Montaldo from Ancient Aliens, our VIP guest tonight. As you know, in the winter and spring, we roll out our VIP guests. Get away from the regular show just a little bit. Go to some different areas, kind of mix it up a lot. We have to mix up the show once in a while, keep it fresh and vibrant, and to reinvigorate the soul in more ways than one. Well, this is our pirate radio show, America, broadcasting every Thursday night from 8 to 10 live stream. Now, the podcast is always available. Many people have asked, how do we hear the last part of the show? Because it cuts off. If you're on the internet, you're listening live, right? You go back into Blog Talk, and you can find the episodes, and you can hear the last 30, 40 minutes of the juicy tidbits of the show, maybe a call or two you haven't heard, some more conjecture, some more politics, a great promo or song, and then we end it. Every show, unfortunately, must end at some point. The Alpha and the Omega, as our Lord says, right? The beginning and the end. Well, many folks say we're in the end of days. Possibly. Very, very true. Look around the world. What do you think? What do you see? All I see is chaos, death, and destruction. Well, we'll talk about all that and more, much, much more tonight. So I broadcast my mountain stronghold deep in the mountains of Arizona. Up in the north part, it's covered in snow. Love Flagstaff. Love the Nordic country, Alpine. But they've got 82 inches of snow, and 4 more inches are coming your way. Record snowfall. All this talk of global warming. Are you kidding me? Record rain in California. Record snowfall in the Rocky Mountain states, of which I'm a part. We love the Rocky Mountain states. It's like Afghanistan cannot be conquered. There's all kinds of nooks and crannies, all kinds of militias up there training. Oh, yes, I know. I've been invited to be with them and to watch them. They will go undisclosed, their locations, of course. They're all over the place. Pick your county. They're up there. They're everywhere. We're behind every blade of grass. This is your pirate radio station, Infamous and Rogue. And we're so glad you're all here with us tonight. We have a big show for you, as always. As I say on the radio each week, we are a world at war. And I mean that. The Barbarian is here. I'm the only one on the radio airwaves that says he is the Barbarian. That is I, your host. I'm the producer. I am the studio guy who has some help sometimes in the studio. I do it all, pretty much. Now, I rearranged some furniture here in the studio, put in some club chairs, took out a big couch this week that was in the way, streamlined the operation, put up some new banners and pictures. Looks really kick-ass, if you know what I mean. Well, this is the show your mother warned you about. This is the testosterone-driven show where eagles dare for alpha males. No beta males need apply. We want tough people. We want a great audience. We're not looking for the biggest. We're not trying to be the next Sean Hannity. God forbid. He does his shtick the way he does it. He's made millions doing it. But I knew right from the get-go I wanted to start a radio movement and an organization and a great radio electorate, if you will, from the ground up in America to talk about the nowhere man, the forgotten man and woman, the real patriots of America, as we speak, always speak truth to power everywhere we go. Well, tonight, if you didn't know any better, sailing over America, there is a Chinese spy balloon gathering and collecting intel for the Chinese Communist Party and government. Biden refuses, absolutely refuses, to shoot it down. They have violated our airspace, our sovereign airspace, or at least what sovereignty we have left in America. Biden refuses to shoot it down, even over vast, remote areas of nothing but mountains. You know how easy it would be to shoot it down over a mountain pass where nobody would be down there at all? They refuse to do it because Biden's paid off by the Chinese communists. He's in their pocket. They installed him. Part of the deal was we get to spy on America and you'll do nothing about it, will you, Democrat Joe Biden? You'll do nothing. Exactly as I told you months ago, this was going to be going down. And this is just what we know about. We don't know everything going on, do we? Part of the deal was Biden will look the other way when China and their communist henchmen start to look at America and dissect it, put out their TikToks, get all the data, all that information, all that intel in the metaverse, etc. And tonight, it's a glaring example. It's so obvious, in your face. It's been broadcast on many multiple channels. I myself put down the article from Reuters, NBC News, ABC. Once in a while, they get it right. And there is a Chinese balloon flying over America. It's huge, like a little moon almost, they say. From my witnesses, thing's massive, collecting data. No one's doing a damn thing. So why do we have NORAD and Air Force bases? They can't even get the order, and it's not their fault. They have to get the order from the president, and he refuses to shoot it down. I'd shoot that damn thing down in a New York second. And I'm not kidding. It'd come down in flames. Unbelievable what's going on. Well, that's why we prepare. That's why we get ready, because these things are, the shoes are dropping left and right. I keep saying it. These things take time to muster. These things in society take time to develop. Politics is slow. The wheels are slow. Think of it as a oxygen-driven cart. But the cart never stops. It keeps being pulled and pulled through mud, through jungles, through deserts. Yet here we are in 2023. Well, I suspected Chinese spy balloon, it's been said, has been flying over the USA already for a couple of days, say senior U.S. officials. And they've advised President Joe Biden against shooting it down for fear. This is a BS worry they have, that it's for fear that the debris could pose a safety threat. A lot of BS there. Right. We have millions of acres of nothing on the ground, and it's already up in Montana, pretty barren up there as it is, and it's not over millions and millions of people. I say shoot it down. Get it over a remote part of the U.S. of A. and shoot it down. And let's look at it, and let's grab their intel that they've taken from us and see how sophisticated that spy balloon is. See what they got. Where's the CIA in all this? Oh, I'm sorry, they're busy in Ukraine. That's right. Remember, no one cares about the U.S. of A. but us. Our leaders care far more about Ukrainian borders than American borders. They care far more about the CCP in China than they do the sovereignty of the American people. Well, the incident recalls the lengths to which Beijing and Washington have been willing to go and spy on each other, true, but it just shows how gutless and ballless our government is, our so-called leaders. We don't have leaders in America, I've told you. America just has politicians. Welcome to church, my friends. We welcome you yet again. And we are here to say what we must. Yes. Well, as in church, we always want to set the mood, and we will play some things that I think are good for the show. Our top five listeners to the Von Wiehent Show are, of course, the USA as number one, then Canada, then Thailand, then South Korea, and then, as in 1945, the Empire of Japan. Now, if you notice, the last three are all Asian countries, and they are listening in to what real Americans have to say, because they know in their mind of minds or heart of hearts that a war is very likely to break out in Asia, the South China Sea, somewhere at some given point in time. Yes, they know. Well, our VIP guest tonight is the world-acclaimed UFO researcher, Joe Montaldo. Have you ever wondered about alien abduction? Area 51, the aliens among us, Operation Blue Book, the atomic program, the Nazis on the dark side of the moon, the men in black, the secrets of the moon base, the alien races that have come to planet Earth, top secret government files, the X-Files. Well, my friends, we are not alone. We have never been alone. And tonight, Joe will discuss all that with us and more. His latest research and intel should be a fascinating show. Do you want to buckle up for that? Have a cocktail, sit back and listen as I will. Because once Joe gets started, he is a encyclopedia of knowledge. He has interviewed thousands of people who've had UFO sightings and claim to have been abducted. Fascinating stuff. Really is. Just amazing what he can bring to the table. Well, all this stuff going on in politics, you really got to take a step back. I told someone this week on Gather, I think it's time for a major revolt around the world. I can sense the tremors everywhere. They keep poking the bear left and right. The governments are out of control, and one day this may explode. Europe is on the brink in more ways than one. Our country is relatively calm, but don't let the calm fool you. There's a lot of seething going on beyond the surface. And our show is legendary for going into the undercurrent, the riptide, if you will, of economics and politics and what's really going on in people's lives. The economy is not that great. They raised the Fed rate again, and so if you wanted to cool off the economy, you're doing a damn good job of it. It's going to be Arctic cold here real soon, and it matches up with the weather. Because millions of Americans in the middle part of the country are having the greatest ice storm of the last decade. 40, 50 million Americans are under ice storm, weather emergencies. Many have died. Many can't pass the roads. And those that were not listening to my show, those that were not prepared, are finding themselves with no stores open. Cars aren't running. They have no food or water in their home. They have nothing warm to wear. And they're stuck out there in the middle of nowhere. They should have been listening to the Von Wien show and our callers. We've been talking about this for quite some time, about getting prepared. Well, also, I want to tell you about SurviveMax.com. This is our new website that we're making. We are looking for a few good men, a few moderators, if you will, or women for that matter, who want to go on that site. You'll be given a category. There's only like five or six. So if you're interested, hit me up. Let me know at VonWeehanShow@gmail.com or on Gab or elsewhere, or call in tonight and tell me. You'll take a few hours a week, and we have like home defense is one, shelter, various topics, but we need some moderators to help out on the website. So we can get into that more during the show, of course. You know, the migrants to mighty Europa are trashing that continent. The legendary arts of Europe, designed by the European people and no one else. But those who cannot make beautiful things or even replicate it in any way, I would say this. They will try to burn it down and destroy all the evidence since they can't build it on their very own. And what rules their world is envy and jealousy and pettiness when they want to go into your country and destroy what you have built. What a time to be alive, huh, America? What a time to be alive. It's like the collapse of Rome going on all around us, but we have Wi-Fi, instant coffee, and home internet. And we're watching it all on Twitter and other types of websites. There's BitChute and Rumble, etc. Well, we're now into February. And now we're 11 months away from Christmas. 11 months away, really about 9 months away from the next holiday season. But have you seen the malls, the stores? They're like an empty car lot right now. Go inside them now, plenty of parking, no hustle bustle. A lot of Americans are not going to make it. I got news for you. A lot of them are tapped out. They've got no more cash, no more disposable income to blow. Americans love to spend money, but when they can't get their hands on money or a government check of some kind, they walk the mall, they Saw some people the other day. You ever want to know what's going on in your neighborhood? Go to your mall food court. Have a little bite. Sit back in the corner and just watch the people. Observe them, as I do, with a few friends. And we'll watch people. See your 25-year-old guy pushing a baby cart. You see your people walking around. Notice there's no bags in their hands. They haven't bought anything. All they can afford is the food court. That's about it. They walk into stores and walk right out. It's so bad, the store guys are out in the mall in front of the store trying to get you, trying to lure you in to buy something. They can pay their rent. Unbelievable. Well, a lot of you guys, I told you a year or so ago to get in position and get working. And don't wait. Or there's not going to be another stimulus check. You better get working. You're going to end up in the streets. Literally. Most of Americans are living paycheck to paycheck, Wall Street study, 63%. Many Americans as well cannot make their big, fat car payment. Some of you guys are paying $6,000, $7,000, $8,000 a month that new $60,000 truck you bought a year or so ago. You can't keep up, can you? Biden inflation? Can't do it. Defaults are going to rise. Bankruptcies are going to go through the roof. Personal bankruptcy will be, as it is now, very common. It's going to happen more and more. Well, while all that's going on with the carnage of the economy and Biden inflation and this high interest rates, the degenerates and the so-called elites in our society are running over it left and right. It's amazing to see so many people adopt those values and stab their kinsmen and their people in the back throughout our lands. America has truly become a land of traitors, people that don't care about their neighborhood, they'll rat on their neighbor. We don't focus on the negative on the show. We just tell you how it really is. We want everyone to do well. We want a chicken in every pot. We want America to be like it used to be. But it's gone off on so many strange tangents the last 5, 10, 20 years. We know it's a beast that's out of control. Valhalla is rising. Odin, the Norse god, the warrior, is out there somewhere. Well, on this show, we will always have a lot to talk about and a lot to do. And during these, in the year of the rabbit, you want to keep your head on a swivel. You want to be aware of your surroundings like never before as society unravels all around us. Yes, the Imperial March. Without further ado, we'll get to Joe Monsaldo. He's been on the hit TV show Ancient Aliens numerous times, and we can't wait to get him on the show tonight. Joe, how are you doing? Welcome to the Von Weehunt Show tonight. I can't wait to hear your latest intel, sir. How you doing?
Pretty good. How you doing, man?
I'm doing great. Long time no hear, man. We wanted to bring you on, and I can't wait to hear what you got to say. And there's so much to talk about, you know, in the world of aliens and UFOs. And where would you like to begin tonight?
Well, you know, people always ask me how I get involved in this. And I always tell them it's too long of a story for a radio show, because it really is. For me, it was like circumstances that just kept weird stuff just happening. You know, I was in the Navy. I kept meeting people in the Navy that had experiences. I got out of the Navy. I worked with pilots when I was in the Navy. And they always tell me about these experiences. And weird people out of the blue, people, important positions, would just, you know, tell me. I'd be sitting there. We'd have dinner. And somebody just start, you know, we'd go sit out and have a drink at a bar and on the porch. And they'd just start telling me about their alien abduction. I'm like, really? And if I had a dollar for every person who did that between age 20 and 24, I'd be rich. I was like, I couldn't figure it out. I said, did I have this thing in my face? I mean, was there like an underlying beacon going, please tell me your alien? Because I got to be honest, Pete, until this point, no interest in this. I was in the Navy for an education. I went in to get my degrees. I got my bachelor's in science. I got advanced avionics and electronics. I worked all over the Nimitz. And that's what I was there for. And it just people just kept telling me. You know, I'm laying in my dentist chair. I'm 22 years old. She said, this woman's running for political office. Her husband is in political office. She starts telling me about a freaking alien abduction. I'm like, you got to be kidding me, right? I went to go visit a friend of mine working one night. She's a convenience store manager. I stopped by to see her. And I'm talking because she had to do a double. I'm sitting there talking. Comes in, you know, really rich guy, lives in a really rich neighborhood. Guess where the store was? And just starts telling me about how aliens came to his house and took him. And I was like, and you know, I got to be honest. Every time I used to hear this, the first thing that popped in my head was, man, do they still pay $100 for bringing lunars to the nutty house? You know, it was too many people of consequence. It would have just been some bums off the street or something. I'd have said, man, but these were people who had, you know, life stakes. They could have lost something for telling me this. I mean, if I'd have been a blabbermouth, I know two or three of them that were political officers would not be there now. Several that are quite wealthy that are very prominent in New Orleans business and a couple other places in the country. And I just couldn't understand why, especially at that age. I mean, I was how can I say this politely on the air? I was just bad when I was 24. That's as politely as I could say it. I was a child, man. I was fresh out of the Navy, just got through getting an education.
Right.
You're still
wild oats out there, Joe. Love it, man.
Not to kind of try to get you in jail, mind you, even though we might have got there once or twice, but still. Not
you
real
gotta have fun in life.
But, you know, we got out there, and then more and more people, though. You know, I was going to go work for a company. I was actually working for a company. It was making really good money. And I was talking to a lady, one of my junior managers. I was talking to her. And by the way, I was 27, managing a McDonald's on the beach in Gulfport, making $250,000 a year 35 years ago. So plus bonus. You don't even know what they paid me in bonus. So it was insane. So we're just sitting there talking one day, and she was telling me about Jesus. And I said, did you ever stop to think that maybe Jesus was an astronaut that came from another world? Oh, my God. Cost me my job, by the way. They would never tell
me
why. I just got a raise. I mean, 2 days prior to them letting me go, I just got a raise. I mean, a big one, too. And all of a sudden, I should have realized they were a very religious family. They adopted like 12 kids from all around the world. They used to have these weekend seminars, which I would never go to because I just didn't want to be there. And I was out of place for saying it, but they gave me a great severance package. I'm not going to lie. And still to this day, you can call them. They'll give me a great reference. But, you know, it was one of them things. It was a question I had on my mind. And she kept saying, Jesus this, Jesus that. It just popped out of my head going, well, do you know? I mean, I don't know. I mean, I know a lot of what they called miracles back then, we can reproduce easily today. In another 100 or 200 years, I think everything that they considered a miracle back then we'll be able to reproduce. So that doesn't make us gods. That makes us just still stupid humans with more advanced technology.
Right.
It worries me when I think about it. like this, man. I just, you know, I should not waste my time on subjects like that because I got too much research to be doing. But I guess it's like a runaway break for me. It's away from my brain.
Well, Joe, yeah. In our theme tonight is the Death Star explodes. So you and I are going to blow up the Death Star tonight, right?
Well, we got a good start.
We're going to name the names. The alien races that are fighting amongst themselves, and a lot of people have asked me before the show, is there an alien invasion impending upon the world? They want to know that from you tonight.
Well, not what it's hard to explain, but not what we would consider an invasion. Well, let me put it this way.
Okay.
They've already invaded. We've got to worry about it. So let's look at it a different way. So currently right now, ET's told everybody they want to tell that they're here. Whoever's being contacted or in contact or being abducted, they know they're here. You know, Alfred Weber figured that number was somewhere in the 1.5 billion range, whether it is, whether or not, it's anybody's best guess. But most researchers say it's 15% of the population, which happens to be that particular number. So they seem to, but everybody else, all the rest of us peons, they don't give a good blank about it. They don't care if we know, they don't care if we don't know. It's almost like they know something's coming. And when you get to the Holocaust dreams, when you talk about one-third of all contactees have a Holocaust dream, but before we get into that, it's really like when the ET talks to their contactees. So non-contactees or non-abductees or non-alien contact, I guess we'll say, those are like cannon fodder. I don't think they really care what's going to happen to us. Or maybe it's just because they can't do anything about it, or maybe we just don't have the abilities that they're looking for, whatever it may be. They're thinking, screw you, you're done, okay? Whatever's coming for us, yeah, they're not going to be able to save us from. But they can save these ones that they started interbreeding family lines back a couple hundred thousand, maybe even a million years ago when they first introduced. Because it was the way they introduced it was first the humans and the reptilians bred with the human people that they created, and then the Greys came in later and interbred. So now you have this race that's here today. Still out of that race, they're only going to be able to save. Currently, if it happened today, they would save 1.5 billion. But most researchers feel like before this even happens, it's going to probably, the population of this planet's going to be somewhere upwards to 10 to 15 billion people. So we still got a little time. It's not like it's going to happen overnight or anything. And meanwhile, something else may go along. But it's like, so when you hear people talk about this, they talk about off-world colonies where some of the humans are going to go and the rest of the humans are just going to basically be turned to ash. It almost sounds like just another event on this planet. You know, every so often, Mother Earth just cleans the palate and starts over.
Right.
And, you
That's
know,
true.
It's been a long time. Yeah, it's been a couple hundred million years since the last great extinction. Well, we're not talking about the dinosaur extinction. We're talking about I guess you're going to include that in there. But the dinosaur extinction wasn't as complete as some of the other ones were. But anyway, we're headed for another one. You know, and they figure, okay, whatever causes this, you know, we want to make sure that this part of the segment of the population is saved. Whatever this part of the population is to them, they want to make sure they're saved. You know, maybe they feel sorry for us. Maybe it's because we share a kindred spirit now. We share some of the same DNA. Maybe that's why. But for some reason, the rest of the population, they're cold-hearted about it because they really just look at them as just trash. Cannon fodder, you know, second-class citizens. It's not going to matter what happens to them. I guess it's mainly because they can't stop it, but still, man. When you hear contactees talking, it's kind of like, wow, that's just kind of cool. But, you know, if they can't stop it, they can't stop it. And if they are going to save, but you know, a billion, 2 billion, 3 billion of us, that's, you know, that's a fine thing. I guess the species will live, and maybe we'll get to come back here. Maybe we'll have a colony somewhere else. But regardless, at least they're willing to save it. That's all I can say.
Right. Now, you mentioned Holocaust dreams. You mean like World War III Holocaust, or do you mean like World War II Holocaust?
Well, no. It's kind of in between. So somewhere in the future, these people are talking about they're driving cars. When they describe the cars, they don't sound like any cars we got today. They sound quite a bit more advanced, and they sound like almost like they're molded cars. I don't know if they were electric. I don't think they were electric, but they didn't look like they ran on petrol either because of the way that the car was set up. But anyway, they talk about these things. they talk about driving through Houston. So one of these cities they're talking about driving through, there's about two or three different dozen contactees had the same dream about Houston. None of them know each other. So they're talking about driving down south. You got six of them in the car. They're driving through Houston. The lights are working. The street lights are working. Everything's working. There's cars parked on the side, but there's no people anywhere. They're not seeing people anywhere. They get out, the cars, they decide they want to go get something in the mall. They want to, you know, get some supplies. As soon as they walk up to the window starts talking to them, which is technology we have today, but it's outlawed. We won't let them use AI software, facial recognition software to sell you stuff right now. We could. We just won't let them. But somewhere in the future,
right,
we're going to let them use it for that. So, you know, it may be 10 years, maybe 100 years, maybe 500. You know, I don't see humans changing all that much over the next 500 years. Technology, yes, but if you look at us 2,000 years ago, we're pretty much the same species we were then today. We're still killing each other, raping, pillaging, tearing up the planet. Just like
exactly.
We were 2,000 years
ago. Nothing changes.
Yeah.
So true.
I mean, it's because some stuff has changed slowly but surely, but in the end run, it's going to take a lot longer than 500 years for us to become, unless Elon Musk gets us into space and becomes our savior or something. I'm not sure about that one either.
Cool.
He scares me a little bit. He does. But
what's your take, Joe, on the secret space program? You hear a lot about that lately.
Well,
and we have, you know, bases on Mars and the moon and maybe even Venus.
Well, there's actually three of them. And technically, there's three of them, though. So, and it depends what we're talking about. DARPA's space program's not all that super advanced. I mean, it's more so than some of the other stuff. But you got to realize, Elon Musk is more advanced than most of what the U.S. government's flying right now. That's just pathetic.
True.
He put NASA to shame. They didn't even exist. I mean, he's launching rockets four or five times a day. They're landing, being reused, sending them up again.
Mm-hmm.
He just put, 6,000 satellites. I mean, he told Putin, you want to shoot a missile at us, I'll just collide one of my satellites into your missile. He said, I got four more satellites than you got missiles. And then he told him, I can produce them faster than you can, too, and put them up faster. So, I mean, this is a guy who came to America and wants to change our country to the better, I hope. But he scares me, you know, because he's so much more advanced than most of our space programs. But then the Navy and the Air Force have been running a space program, both of them, I don't know, five decades now. So it's not like anybody writes to me, oh, it's not like the SGC or anything like the Stargate. They're not that mm-hmm. advanced, but they're far more advanced than flying shuttles. TR-3Vs, the space version of the what is it called? It's the I can't remember the name of the Aurora. I'm really lucky because they have really high security clearance, and I've met a few people over the years that work in some of these
mm-hmm.
projects, and they can't get in trouble for talking to me. As long as I don't say anything, nobody gets in trouble. It's
right
beyond my clearance. So they're like, it had to be somebody to get that clearance. So, but you know, we know there's a couple of new versions of the Aurora. They all have different names, like Sky and Mile and different things like that. And they got different logos for them and stuff, and they're different shapes. But the TR-3Bs were the original triangles that we had learned how to build from the human-type aliens. We didn't get the technology from them, but we got the designs and the idea how it worked. We had to put the engines together. Last I heard, unless something changed, they work on a gravity pulse drive. So it, like, uses the Earth's gravity or any gravity anywhere in the solar system, it can pull and push itself by using the gravity. So each time it pulls, so let's say it's at Earth and it hooks to Mars and it pulls to Mars, it pulls. Each time it pulls, it's doubling or tripling or quadrupling its speed, which means by the time it gets to the end of the solar system, it's probably really close to light speed, which means the Doppler effects are going to be pretty bad.
Mm-hmm.
Time's going to be passing really fast here and really slow for them. But we have those kind of technologies. A lot of people think we got jump technology. I don't know if the other aliens will let us outside of our solar system. So it's not that I don't think we might not possess these technologies. I just don't think the other aliens are going to let us outside of our solar system. This is our solar system. We want to screw it up. We want to blow it up. We want to do whatever we want. We want to learn it. That's fine. That's what it's here for. It's like the sandbox for the kids. You know, that's basically what our solar system is for us. And if they're all happy with go out there and play, but you're not getting out of the solar system, probably to a united planet. I don't think they're going to let us out before then. We're just too dangerous. 200 different governments. Nobody can make up their mind. I mean, we could be meeting an alien race right now while Putin's trying to blow us up. It's just
right.
Aliens are going to be going, really? Because I would imagine any advanced race you meet is going to be a united race. I doubt I doubt you can achieve the kind of things that greys and reptilians and humans achieve by being a divided species. I just don't see it happening. Because things are going to go so much faster if everybody just got together and got on the same damn page. But no, we can't do that because we're monkeys still. Wait, did I say that out loud?
That's so true.
I'm not offending anybody by using the monkey word. I apologize. But sometimes
that's okay. That's what... Yeah, we are. We are totally. Just amazing. The planet Earth is very divided. We are definitely not on the same page on any category. And I always say, Joe, this is a world of war. This planet loves war. Not that we love war. We are the level-headed ones, the cooler heads. But when I was a boy, I said, man, this planet is always at war with somebody, constantly at war.
You know, there's a lesson. There's an old Outer Limits episode. It might be a Twilight, but I think it's an Outer Limits. So these aliens come to Earth, and they get to Earth, and they're, like, all disappointed, right? I mean, they're just disappointed. So the UN gets together, and they do this resolution, and everybody joins together, and it's kumbaya, and we love each other. And the Earth come down to the thing and said, oh, my God, it's even worse. And they just killed us all because they were trying to build a warrior race and not a peaceful race.
That's the more likely story right there. Yes. I like that.
It was just one of those episodes with the Indians. Really? Okay. That was a little twisty down there. But
even the aliens know there's a lot of money in war, Joe. Yeah. Well, how many alien races do you think are on planet Earth? And how many are here, do you think?
They only allow three. They only allow three here at any one time. Well, actually, they only allow three, period. Every time I hear these people talk about 52 or 5 or 8, it's not how it works. So in the beginning, we used to think that the grays worked for the reptilians and light beings and all these. Well, they do work for the light beings because they were an engineered race. But not only are the grays the most advanced species besides the light beings probably in our galaxy, their ships are organic. They grow them. Not only are the ships organic, they can produce their own food, which the grays can absorb through osmosis through their skin as well. That's why grays are sometimes different colors. You know, brown, usually people say, well, they're gray. Well, they're not really gray. Sometimes they'll be translucent looking. But really and truly, when they're well-fed from that blue plasma, they're almost like cobalt blue color. They look just like most of the pictures look like. It's just that's how in the old days, so this is abduction criteria that we let out recently. In the old days, we wouldn't even let this out because if someone came up and told me, they said, oh, I saw this alien and this is the color, I'd know they were lying to me. There was a Hollywood version. Because the real grays are not that actual gray Hollywood version. It's not what they look like color-wise. They are linky because whatever planet they can come from, the gravity is much different than it is here. They're way stronger than we are. They're way faster than we are. As far as I know, they don't have any bones. They're all cartilage. They just came from a different kind of world than ours. Those big black eyes are not eyes. They're patches. They actually got eyes behind them, which are about twice the size of ours and slightly in difference in colors. But those are just highlighted patches, mainly because they probably come from a low environment and low gravity environment with a low sun. So coming here is a lot different for them. You know, it's a whole different world for them. The reptilians and humans and aliens are both scared of the grays. We thought in the beginning that wasn't true. But after 2 decades of research, we found that it is. Anytime anybody described, like the grays are somewhere and the reptilians walk in or the humans walk in, you got to remember, an average reptilian male is 7.5 feet, 8 foot tall. He's 650 pounds. He's built. He's tall. He's like a freaking rock walking around. And yet he's scared of this little 4 foot gray. You're like, really? But you got to remember, the gray's brains are also 3 or 4 times the size, maybe 5 times the size of ours. So probably 3 or 4 times the size of the reptilians and the humans as well. So, you know, they're kind of like, okay, we don't want to get in a brain war. You're just going to kill us or melt our brains or something. So
I thought the grays were the minions, the henchmen of the reptilians, who I thought were dominant.
We thought that. We all thought that in the beginning. But then the research started then. And then when you look at the gray's head compared to the reptilians or humans, the humans have a big head. It's longer than ours. It goes deeper in the back by about 6 inches, 8 inches or so. And the reptilians are big, but the gray's brain is 3, 4, like I said. Their frontal cortex, their telepathic abilities are even telekinesis abilities are far beyond any of these races. They just think artery bust and you're dead. It's not even a thing for them. They can pick you with your brain and slap a reptilian and all 600 pounds him against the wall like he's putty. So we didn't realize in the early days. We used to think they were for them. But when we start hearing about the difference in technology, so the humans and the reptilians both still have click and push technology. There's no wires or anything connected to them, so nobody knows exactly how everything, but it's still like they have to touch something or they have to pull out a screen or something. But for the greys, it's not like that. They just plug their body into the ship, and whatever they want or whatever they do, that ship does for them. When you walk into a room on a gray ship, it's lit, but there's no lighting anywhere. It's like it permeates from the walls, and you can brighten it, lower it. When they want a table, it just like bubbles up from the floor and spreads out into a table. When they want equipment, it just comes out the wall. And it's creating itself as it's coming out the wall. It tells you how advanced these craft really are. I mean, these things are far beyond the reptilians and the humans.
Wow.
And then, this is why I always tell people starting ancient history with this, but then we learn some lessons. So the humans were probably, the reptilians probably were here a long, long time ago and either went to sleep or left. But the human aliens showed up, I don't know, a couple hundred thousand years ago and created a slave race. And the reason why is when they got here, the Sumerians said they built two great white dome cities to live in because they couldn't breathe the atmosphere here. So they created a species like yourselves that could get out, you know, terraform the planet, change the planet, you know, mine the planet. But when they got out there, these guys were like, well, wait a minute. We're royalty, too. We're omnipotent super beings like the guys who created it. Why are we doing the minion work ourselves? So they created what the Sumerians called the seven creations of man with our nearest ancestor came from them. But somewhere along the line, the reptilians started showing up. The Egyptians talk about them, and the Dogon also talk about them, and the Sumerians talk about them. So we know they came in sometime while all this was going on. So what the story was is the reptilian males would go there and steal the females, rape the females, bring them back, they'd have children. The children were born different. The initial report was, oh, they looked different, but that wasn't true. They acted different. See, the species before them was subservient. They could cook and eat and have sex, the whole nine yards, have children, make beers, whatever you needed, but they never asked why they had to do any of this. They didn't challenge anything. They just did what they were told. Well, once the reptilians interbred with them, that changed. They became a much more, hey, what the hell am I doing this for? And by the way, ladies and gentlemen, in case y'all didn't know this, every human on this planet has a reptilian section in its brain, and it's an important section about who and what we are. Without it, we'd be a bunch of subservient minions running around going Zeke Heil Putin at the moment. So it's one of those things that, you know, people tell, I can't pay how much money I've won over this. I'll be in a club, I'll be with some friends, or I'll be having dinner somewhere, or somebody else said, well, you know, you got a reptilian section, you're like, oh, you're crazy, how much money you want to bet? I'm like, how much you got? But anyway, so that was going on. So I think what happened was that the Galactic Council started getting worried that the reptilians and humans were going to get into it over planet Earth. Because, you know, first off, he is a little Sumerian thing, you know, raping and pillaging the planet. And here comes the reptilians directly interfering, causing problems. And all of a sudden, their slave race is trying to rebel. They got issues. They're fighting with them. Same thing that happened to the Egyptians. And it's funny, but the Egyptian pharaohs had that elongated head, like they said, the human aliens had. It's, you know, every throw is caused from that disease, but it is basically the same style head that the human aliens have. But they got four heads of hair. They're also probably in the 7-8 foot range, probably in the 400 to 600 pound range. They're way bigger than we are. They're way older than we are. They've been, I think both of the middle races, which is what we call the reptilians and the grays, are somewhere sentient 500 million years, 400 million years. They say the grays are well over a billion years old. So these are races that they're looking at us. They can't. It's even hard for them to look at us as children. We're more like pets because clean that we can get equal. When people tell me, oh, I did this. And no, you didn't. You're fooling yourself. These races are far beyond this. If they want to look down and help us or talk to us, that's fine. But they've got their reasons they're here. But anyway, the grays decide, or I should say the light beings or whoever in the council decided to send the grays here to stop this. And it's interesting because prior to this, we're going to stop on a whole subject, change subject for a second. So prior to this, so we've got the reptilians and we've got the humans here. and they're interfering in our DNA, and they're having children and stuff. So, but back then, prior to the Greys, it's funny. Everybody was brown hair, brown eyed, brown skinned. Mm-hmm. But no variations. That's pretty much what everybody was. And then out of the blue, someone or something, because I don't think it was Mother Nature, gave us the Rh negative gene, the Rh negative blood type.
Mm-hmm.
And everything changed. All of a sudden, it was mutations all over the place. He had his green eyes, blue eyes. Yeah, would have wanted to broke the data on that. It was one of Icross' original data, but first.
And they have no idea where that came from, right? Right, Joe? They have no idea.
I work with three different hematologists on it, but I've talked to way more. They have no idea how it got here because it's anti-production. So Mother Nature created the Rh negative, which kills babies. They're stillborn. So why the hell would it do that? I mean, why would it do something? Were we breeding too fast and Mother Nature said, let me slow them down by creating this? Is that what this was about? But I would think that, but there's too many other benefits to it. So anyway, you know, in old days, people, if you're over 35, you used to have to get a blood test and go get a before you got your license, because if you were O negative and the other one was O positive, you couldn't have children. Before the anti-denigen D gene was invented, you couldn't have children because the children would have probably been born still. Now, mm-hmm. This is a blood type, too, that they said started 45 to anywhere from 140 to 45,000 years ago, that's already got 15% of the population taken over. Mm-hmm. It's steadily growing. It's not shrinking. It's steadily growing. And then O negative is the universal donor and the purest form of blood known to man. It's where all of our hemological research comes from. But it didn't even exist. And a lot of people want to credit the Greys as the one who entered, gave us Rh negative and O. So they're basically saying humans gave us A, the reptilians gave us B, and the Greys gave us O and Rh negative as well. And the main reason they say that is, and the reason, one of the reasons we found in research is Rh negative doesn't have a common ancestor with the rhesus monkey. By the way, ladies and gentlemen, that's what Rh stands for, rhesus monkey, which the Rh positive people have 2%. So wait a minute. How can a whole species on this planet not be sharing the same DNA? So that's something. There's definitely a difference between Rh people and Rh positive people. They have different personalities. They've done a lot of research on this. They're different kind of people. It's strange. It's not that one's better or one's worse. They're just different. They have a different way of looking at things, a different way of thinking about things. It's just a weird thing to see this. And we stumbled on this because ICAR has these things we run to be able to locate contactees who don't know who they are. So we're always looking for information that can help us find somebody who might just be waking up or somebody who might hear something and say, you know, that's me, because we always have questionnaires running out. But the blood type thing was weird because what we expected to find, this is what we really expected to find, we expected to find amongst the abductees that was going to be 37% A, 38% O, 33% this, 1.5% AB, you know, 7% O negative. So that's what we were expecting, but it's not what we got was categorically 68% of all of our abductees, and we have over 97,000 now, 67% are Rh negative. How the hell can that be? I mean, that's just, it's like a freaking beacon, man. I'm like, what the hell is going on here? And it's not to say Rh positive people don't get abducted, because they do, but they don't seem to get abducted as near as much as Rh. So it showed us that at least they had a taste for our blood, and one had, you know, what it was or what it caused it. Or why, maybe. I would bet you money that you would find the Rh negative people probably possess a higher psychic ability than the Rh positive people do. I would bet you money on it, which is something we're testing. We'll see how that comes out, because we do test with.
How many people in the world, Joe, do you think have Rh negative blood? Is there a percentage that we know about?
Well, it's 15%, so it's
okay.
What are we at?
Oh, well, that high, okay.
Almost 2 billion people, yeah. That would be almost 2 billion people have it. So it's weird that, though. The other weird thing is for a decade, maybe two decades now, abduction researchers have been saying that we believe that about 15%, 10 to 15% of the population is being abducted. And then, you know, then we find out that Rh negative is 15%. It's the coincidence of just so weird. And then here's a whole other eight ball. So South America and Central, I mean, sorry, Central America and South America are 98% O. No one can explain how that happened. I've asked so many people, it's not even from 98%. And don't forget, the Spaniards went down, raped and pillaged all over the place. So I'm
That's
just
right.
confused. You know, so what, those conquistadors happen to be O2? I mean, it's just the whole thing is just weird. And then hell, people know. So the Sumerians have statues of these I forgot what they call them, but they got these elongated heads. There's a face in the front, and the head goes back, you know, I guess about 6 inches long than us. And then, of course, we know mm-hmm. about the Egyptians who had those heads. And then we know about the Nazcans. That's how they used to board their children. The original research on the Nazcans said it was a grave, but when I went and looked, it wasn't. They weren't puffing it up. They were making it longer. So we know for at least those three races that the human-type aliens definitely directly interfered back in the day. We know it beyond any reasonable doubt now. We know the reptilians interfered with the Egyptians and other races as well. And we know the reptilians really interfered with a lot of races in South and Central America and even North America. So so we know these things, you know, what all this is going to come out to be. And then we also know until the birth of Christ or until Christianity started, the reptilians and the human-type aliens walked openly amongst us. They were part of our societies. We knew what they were. We talk about this. Even in the books you go back and look today, they talk about what they call, you know, supernatural deities from beyond
That's
our
right.
world.
So, all the mythology and all the ancient writings talked about that. That's right.
It's the so-called modern educated humans that can't seem to grasp the truth. And they don't want to know. I mean, and I can understand this. I really can. So we're just little humans in a big, huge universe. We're not even a grain of sand in the universe. We're like a grain of sand that's been pulverized in the dust a billion times. And we're one of these
Exactly.
So,
so true.
I can understand feeling.
We're a
feeling
speck of dust out here, planet Earth, you know?
Yes. And if the planet's a speck of dust, what the hell are you? So it's just,
right.
I can understand that people, there's so much magnificent stuff out there. And if we could just learn to get along here, we could get in space before whatever's coming to wipe us out does. And by the way, if I remember these studies right, and I could be wrong, you know, Earth, people forget that, you know, our planet's definitely orbiting our sun, but our sun is definitely orbiting the great black hole in our galaxy. And while we're traveling around our galaxy, which I forgot how long it takes, it's a long time, I used to know that by heart, but we're not just going on like an elliptical flat line. We're going up and down.
Mm-hmm.
So scientists have been theorizing for quite some time that maybe as we're journeying around, every so often the planet passes through a bad area, like maybe the middle of a bunch of red stars, and that's what kills. That's why we have such, you know, we have these great extinctions on our planet every 200 or 300 million years. And they're thinking, which is, I think, what orbit is. So it might be something that, you know, we can't defend against yet. Maybe this might be the first species that might have a chance. Or maybe some others
right.
left. Maybe they did have fertility and left and went somewhere else. And it's never beyond reason that some of these species we talk about weren't even native from this solar system. Everybody forgets, but at one time, Venus, Earth, and Mars were all inhabitable planets inside the inhabitable zone and very nice planets. I mean, we know now from research that Mars definitely probably had life on it. And probably on the whole planet. We don't know on Venus because, you know, it went global, turned into a hothouse, and I don't know if we're going to get anything. It's been turning and turning for so long. I don't know if there's anything going to be left to be found there. But we do know this. Its upper atmosphere is identical to Earth's upper atmosphere, which suggests at one time it was like this planet. So
interesting.
Now, as far as we know, the Greys came from Mars, the humans came from there, and the reptilians came from here. We just don't know. I mean, we're just speculating, but we do know they all have colony worlds, and we do know there's a galactic council out there, even though these freaking contactees can't come up with a correct number on how many people. They can talk about this massive city that floats around. I guarantee you, when we talk about some of this stuff, especially because some of this stuff is 20, 30 years old, I always think when I see Star Wars episodes or Star Wars movies, or even like when What's-His-Name did Taken, you know, there's so much stuff in there that contactees talk about. And I'm always thinking Spielberg must have been a solicitor in contact.
Oh, yeah.
We do hear a lot of stuff in there.
Yeah, before we get into the alien abduction segment of the show, I wanted to ask you, and many of our listeners also want to know about your take on the Third Reich in Hitler during World War II, Antarctica. We all know the Third Reich had access to some UFO technology, the Vril Society, and there's a lot of speculation. Of course, it's been popularized in the movies, of course, like Iron Sky, you know, that there's a Nazi moon base on the dark side of the moon. A lot of strange comments by our American astronauts when they allegedly went to the moon. What's your take on all of that? Because a lot of folks have noticed that after World War II in 1945, that there's been a big uptick in UFO activity and sightings around the world. What's your take on all that, sir?
Well, I didn't get to talk to Neil Armstrong, but I got to talk to the reporter who said, who interviewed him when he said we got waved off the moon and we couldn't go back to the moon. Well, what no one wanted to say when he said that was we couldn't go back to the moon, we just couldn't go back to this specific section of the moon because there was somebody else there. Now,
I heard that before.
Was it Nazis? I don't think so. I mean, I don't know. I can't rule it out. Let me put it this way. But it was something or someone. I would have thought if it was Nazis that Neil would have said that to the person, and I think our government would have took a much more proactive because people forget this. So 18 was our last flight up there. 19, 20, and 21 were bought and paid for, and the crews were trained.
Yeah.
And we didn't use them. I mean, we scrapped them.
Right.
I mean, these are that were already built. Everything was built and paid for, and we had people to go. And we just said, okay, now, is that true? Do we use them later on and just not tell anybody? Well, it's hard to launch a big rocket at Cape Canaveral. Nobody's seeing that damn thing. So
I don't know. Exactly.
Today it's not.
They're going to notice that.
Today we got technologies that don't make a lot of splash when they go up. So we get things in space without people noticing them today. But back then it would have been tough, especially, you know, something like the capsule. So I don't know what happened to them because I actually did some inquiring on where they actually got scrapped at, nobody would tell me. I'm like, well, it's not classified, especially today. It's old
very
technology. You know, so I'm like, well, I was just curious, you know, who scrapped it. Oh, well, you know, we use these tanks for this. And it was just, you could tell it's just a line of BS is what it was. But honestly, I think it was a line of BS from the first. They simply didn't know. I don't think they were trying to hide anything from me because, frankly, they were too low down on the totem pole to be hiding anything. But I have heard from U.S. astronauts on at least three occasions about passing over what looks like a small colony on the moon. But better than that, I've actually heard from three other countries who have satellites flying around the moon that they've also seen something that appears to be a small colony. Now, the leak that came out of China suggested that maybe it's not an active colony anymore, but then no one really knows. And no one's really talking about it. For some reason, nobody wants to talk about it. And so we find the colony. It's one of the things I used to preach all the time on Wake Up USA was, you know, the way it's going to happen for humans is it's going to be a real simple thing. We're going to get off world. We're going to go to Mars, and we're going to find some type of microbial life, maybe even a plant or a little small animal underground somewhere. And then we'll know life exists. Somewhere after that, maybe 5 years, maybe 10, maybe 100, depending on how we're going, we'll stumble across ancient ruins of some kind that suggest that there is other life in the universe other than us. But we've been on a stepping stone track now for at least 80 years. And you can track it back. I used to do this for everybody. I'd track it back. You know, you'd see when all the movies started. You can see when we started and just poured aliens into our society nonstop all the time. Every weird face we can think of, every weird creature we can think of, so that we're not shocked when they do show up. And so we've been doing this for a long time. And these aliens are just kind of like, all right, well, you know, maybe. See, for them, it's they're looking at us like, can you get to this point before whatever it is going to come wipe you out? If it does, maybe there's something else they can do. Or maybe they can show us how to evacuate until such a time that we can come back. But at this point, I don't think they even care, man. I think they're thinking, oh, well.
What's your take on Antarctica? Isn't that like a secret UFO base? A lot of our military people have been down there, and the strange happenings in Antarctica, you know. And, of course, you heard of Admiral Byrd that went down there in 1948. our American fleet got their asses kicked by something and came back with sunken ships and dead sailors.
I wouldn't call it a base per se. Like,
okay,
it's more like a portal. So it's like a quick jumping spot. So in other words, there are several places on this planet. Portals have been reported all over this planet where they come in and they leave. They go in and out. See, if you haven't noticed, when people describe UFOs leaving, they don't describe them streaking across the sky. It's just like they're there and they're gone. It's more like a door opening and closing. Well, we've seen it. We've actually videotaped some of these portals. This is just weird stuff to watch. So they think there's one, a stationary one over the Antarctic. For some reason, they think it's stationary, that it doesn't. Some of the other ones are moving. They're like floating. Well, you know what? They're probably stationary in space. We're just rotating as a planet. But this one seems to be in a stationary orbit, and it's right there above it. So when they come in, it kind of drops them down right on top of the ice sheet. And if somebody's there and sees them, you know. And if you're stupid enough to fire on one of them, well, I don't even know what to tell you what's going to happen to you, because, I mean, that's just ignorant. When you see when you really look, especially if it's a saucer, because it means it's a gray ship, when you really look and you pay attention to this technology and you're thinking, okay, I'm going to launch a missile at this thing that just came in from out of space, okay, and you really think they don't hit a shield that's going to knock your missile.
Dumb move.
I mean, they have
right.
They travel, even when they're traveling through wormholes, they're traveling at velocities that even a micrometeorite could shred you, so they've got to have some kind of super shift, and they have inertial dampness. so what the hell, why would you shoot at it? See, that goes back to when we talked about being dumb humans again. I would have picked up the mic and said, hey, guys, what's up? Can we chat? Hey, we have, not to say that would have helped any, because they might not have wanted to know that you were there, but there are times, like the Battle of Los Angeles, there are times when our military, for whatever reason, and it's happened more than about a half a dozen times, decided that, you know what, we can take on the aliens. And the Russians and Chinese tried this too. China supposedly lost two complete fleets of aircraft and over 3,000 men. It was pictures that were leaked for a while. It got out during COVID. And then, And Russia actually admitted almost losing a whole town over it. This thing just came into town and started wiping out all over the place.
I heard about that. You know, Joe, when was that operation with the Chinese military?
The Chinese, let's see. Well, it came out during COVID in 2020, but no one had a date on when it happened. But I will tell you this. From the type of aircraft they would describe, and I would figure this was about 15 years old, which is probably around the same time the Russians had that run-in, whatever.
Okay.
And people, the Russian thing is interesting. If you've ever seen War of the Worlds and they got those walking pods, that's what they said was going on in Russia. This thing was a big circle and it had like feet underneath it and would just walk around blowing crap up. And then a saucer came up and just it lifted up its legs and it just attached the saucer and it left. After it blew up the whole town, pretty much all kind of Russian tanks. They said it was shredding Russian tanks, like they weren't even there. But a couple of witnesses said it did seem to avoid wiping out like big areas, like churches where there were lots of people, where it could have been. It just didn't. So that tells you something, a little bit. And people ask me all the time, "Are the cranes us from the future? Well, we really screwed up if it is." We are some ugly SOBs. I mean, I like the way I look. I don't think I need to look like a skrankety little gray. No.
Right.
I hate intended gays are listening tonight, but if
they are. They are. Yeah.
So that would show how advanced our technology has gotten. But really, is that what we all want to look like? I think I'd rather have
worse
technology. You know, it's just.
I tell people, Joe, if they want to be immortal, they should call into a radio show, because these beams, they tell us by the astrophysicists, are beamed out in perpetuity into space, into the cosmos. The radio waves never cease to exist. They keep being beamed outward. Immortality at its best.
Come get up. You know, the problem is, you know, we've recently added, our network's growing pretty big these days, and I brought Michelle DeRoche on as our manager from the Outer Realm. And we've just opened all our daytime and evening and weekend slots up, and we're really filling up fast, but we just put a Roku channel up together, you know. So I was thinking about that the other day. We're broadcasting out across the cosmos. Now, things are changing now, people. As we get into digital broadcasting, we won't be broadcasting into space. You know, like when you're on Netflix and all of that, that's not broadcasting space. Well, some of it's not. Some of it is. It depends how you get it. I should change that. It all depends. If you get it through your cable carrier, through a cable line, it's not being broadcast in space. If you get it through the airwaves, like you're on satellite or something like that, it is being broadcast in space. But come on. The very first thing any alien gets to hear is Crazy Hitler at the Olympics. I mean, it was in 1930. But more than that,
right.
Like 114 years. So, people, when I say that's 114 light years away from our planet in a complete sphere. So think about this. Do you know how many planets and how many suns and stars are, if you go make a complete circle around a planet and you go up and down around us, how many things could be in that 114 light year span?
Oh,
and we're
my
like,
God.
Oh, that's what the humans do. And then they get to see Lucille Ball and all kinds of stuff like that. They're thinking, this planet's on crack, man. That might
right.
be why they came. You know? Let's go see Lucille. I mean, they get here. It's our planet. And today, you know, now we're full of what? Game shows and reality shows and social media. They're probably going, what is this planet? We're a mess, people.
Oh,
you're looking
what?
At it from a cosmic mess. We have so much potential. And you know what? I mean, they must think we have some potential because they could have just wiped us out years ago. I mean, when you go back before Christ and all, I mean, there was, what, 10 million people on the planet, 12 million, 15 million people. It would have been easy to wipe us out. So that's not what they did. And they did seem to interfere a lot in the old days. I mean, there's a Middle Eastern story where the city had been under siege for 3 years. Out of nowhere, this big silver shield shows up. Pulls up to the gates, blows the gates and smithereens and leaves. And we believed it, but both the winners and the losers recorded it. It's how this ended, the war ended. So what, I guess the aliens took a side, said we like these guys out here better, blew the gate open, let them in. You hear stuff.
I heard of that before, yes. Amazing stuff, man.
Yeah, people with terminal 4, with stage 4 cancer, terminal, 6 months living, all of a sudden, not only did he not have cancer, but there's nothing wrong with their bodies. Everything's fixed.
God.
That doesn't happen for everything. It's, you know, so it tells you one thing. They got advanced technology that can cure cancer with a blink of an eye. We got two cases out of California, both had cancer. These were women in their 50s. Well, now they're in their 70s, but these were women in their 50s at the time. Both had stage 4 cancer, one head from breast and one head from whatever, and they were going to die. And man, I still remember this. They went to the doctor and they got all this stuff. They were making their plans, you know, and going to set up hospice care and all. And I think in 3 days I talked to them and they told me about a recent alien visit. And 3 days had passed, I get this phone call. She said, Joe, I feel great. I'm like, what do you mean? She said, I feel great. She said, they came to visit last night and I feel just fantastic. She jumped around, cutting her. She said, my hands going back.
Wow.
I'm like, what? She goes to the doctor. She gets, you know, next day she goes to the doctor. The doctor's like, it's a miracle you don't have cancer. She said, you know, oh, it's in remission. She said, no, you don't have it ever. As far as we can tell, it's never been here. So, you know,
wow.
Then the other lady, we like within a day of that, I put them two together, and they're still alive today. I was like, but, you know, but we've had directors that have cancer. Had a couple of directors get cancer, and they thought because they were working on projects, for certain projects. One of my good friends and one of my good directors, who she handled a lot of work for us, she was in the middle of the reptilian report when she had breast cancer. She's alive, thank God. But my national director, Dee Andrew, was working on reports for me, and she got it. She didn't make it, but five of our female directors who were all working on different reports got it, all within like 6 months of each other. So, I mean, what's she supposed to think of that?
The reptilian agenda. What is that agenda? We always hear about the reptilian agenda for the world. Is there one?
Earth, easy.
I'm sorry?
I said Earth girls are easy. That's their agenda.
Oh, yeah, like the movie.
Yeah.
That's my reptilian agenda. I'll sign on for that movie anytime. Earth girls are easy. Damn right. That's the way we like it, too.
And they say Earth men are easy too.
We are too.
That.
That's
but
right. That's right. We're all easy.
It's weird. So you look at the
nothing wrong with that now. We're not going to judge anybody, even the aliens.
That's hey, aliens going to reproduce too, you know. Apparently,
that's right. That's right. They're going to have a good time.
Oh, and that's another
I always
thing,
say it's Saturday night somewhere in the cosmos, right?
That's what it is. Somebody's having a good Saturday night. If you ever watch Stargate, there's those aliens that look like Greys on Stargate. It's funny because the Greys, when they talk about them for like three decades now, they don't actually have sex anymore. If they do, they don't tell you about it. They just so and they don't clone their cells. They I forgot how they say it. They grow new husk bodies by mixing DNA from different parts of their society, and they grow what they call a husk body. And then so they can upload their consciousness to. They can do it by thought, or if something happens to them where they had to be uploaded to part of the ship or something like that, they can later be downloaded into a new body. This is technology humans are working on. We're still not that close to it yet, but we're working on it. And but it is technology.
Wow.
We're gonna master it. And so I mean, basically, the Greys have the ability to take their consciousness, even at great distances, and upload it into a new body. And then you know, it's not a clone, but I guess they figured early on clones wouldn't work because of degradation. So. They figured it out, and they and that's the kind of bodies that grow for the humans. They call them husk bodies, not host bodies, and they're grown from a mixture of whatever in DNA world they're going to be around and the human DNA. Because people used to always tell me, the Greys are here to build themselves from humans. I'm like, you got to be shitting me, right? These people can build ships the size of a damn sun, and you're telling me they're here to better themselves through our DNA. No. They're here now to watch us because they know one day we've got gray reptilian and human DNA in us now. That's probably why you can't find any alien DNA because it's already part of us. It's in our DNA, and they're going, well, one day they're going to surpass us all, so they want to keep an eye on us.
That's what I used to think. Yes, now we're on to something here.
Yeah.
So the aliens are here to monitor us because they fear us. And is there a rivalry among the alien races, Joe? Like they compete for primacy, you know?
There was for a long time, but then the rumor was that for a long time the galaxy was basically just war and just fighting all the time, just like we hear on Earth. And then lightning stumbled into the galaxy from a dead galaxy where they used to live. And they came here. And the light beams are the closest thing you can get to actually being a god, because they'll tell you they're extraterrestrials, but they can travel through space and time with thought. They can create with thought. They can create our planet by thought. They're just so when they got here, they built this gigantic world, and they started building this city on it, and they would invite a race to come hang out with them, and each race that would get to sign on, and then they would all get their own little city inside this massive city, which is bigger than our damn planet, by the way. So that's how it all started, and eventually they got all the warring factions to quit, and now they're one big happy, galactic community for the most part, because there are races like us that are not members, and there are races that are more advanced that decided not to join. And so there's always stuff like that, but for the most part nowadays, from what they talk about, because that's why the Greys are here, because they really were scared the humans and reptilians would get into a fight over the planet. Because the reptilians consider this their planet. They were here when the dinosaurs ruled. There's actually past writings and there's stuff we found, like the Pravda map, which dates back 120 million years. There suggests that they were here a long time ago. And when the cataclysm came, some of them went underground, some of them left. Some of them went back to Draco's system and some went to their home system. So Draco's actually just a colony. They went off to their home system as well. But when they came back, they found us. Technically, we were like an infestation. And so instead of starting the war with the humans, that's why they started stealing their women. They figured through changing their progression, they would rebel on their own. That's what happened. In Great Samaria, that's what happened to people. Rebel just like they did in Egypt. The people sooner or later just rebelled. Once humans realize they have a choice, humans become dangerous. And that's what happened. The reptilians gave us the ability to choose. Before that, we didn't have the ability to choose. And the Greys came along and said, well, wait a minute. Can't have these two sides. We need to throw a little Timothy in here. But this is what's most interesting about this. If you go back and look, the reptilians must have only been taking the families that had heightened psychic abilities because that's what sticks out. And that's what the Greys were looking at too. So almost we won't even consider somebody to be an abductee or contactee if they're not at least an empath. And then we actually test people for it. We test people for psychic abilities as well. We actually do from time to time we do mall testing too, because people always tell me everybody has the ability. Late and they're not. No, that's not true. It's not. And this is what makes everybody so get so mad at me. It's not even hard to challenge this. You can go get two cards, go to your local mall, say, hey, can I set up here? We're doing this for college, whatever. Lie to them. Take the two cards, set them down, blue and green, you know, set them down, red and yellow, whatever you want to do, and ask people to come sit down. You'd be surprised how many people. Last time we did it, over 200 people came and sat down. Out of 200, three people got it right more than one time.
Wow. I believe it.
So if the majority of people got it wrong, so you know when you flip a coin, you should get it right 50-50, right? Nope.
That's right.
A lot of times you flip a coin, you get it like 30-70. And so it doesn't always work that way. So we proved more than one time that not everybody has latent sapient abilities. It's what the aliens were looking for in the beginning. It's whatever they were doing. And they abduct in family lines. And still today, the only way they abduct is in family lines. But people don't realize, when you say, well, they can't just be doing family lines. Oh, yeah, they can, because whether it was 100, 1,000, or 10,000, 100,000, how many ever they started out with, it doesn't matter. Back then, they used to have 10, 15 kids, and all the way up, these people all, you know, you have 10 kids, their grandparents have 10 kids, another 10 kids. So within 100 years, one family's already put out 100, 150 kids. Well, they have abducted every one of them because they're part of the family line who needs to be abducted. And when they marry and have children, they abduct those children. And when those children marry their children, they abduct those children. What's gotten really weird is, in the beginning, the three races were separate. The humans on this planet, the reptilians had these, the Sumerians had these, and the Atlanteans had these. And then over years, a gray contactee slept with a reptilian contactee. They had a baby. It slept with the human contactee. They had a baby. It slept back with the gray contactee. So now you've got this super hybrid species on our planet, which, and you can tell it's there, which is going to be a great species if we can. So it's
what's your take?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh, just a quick. I just wanted to interject here, Joe. What's your take? Also, I wanted to get into this on Area 51 and the aliens that you're talking about that are supposedly there, incarcerated. You know, giving us intel. From the cosmos to our government officials, things like that.
Question for you. So the graves can pretty much take you from anywhere. You know, they can take you in your car, take you at work, take you at home, take you in jail, take you anywhere. So why would they leave people behind?
Yeah.
I mean, really, why would they? So really, truly, this is what this is about. Real quick, way back when, in the turn of the century before this one, a species came here to visit this planet. To check up on this planet. They think it was a human-type alien met with the Germans. And the reason they met with the Germans, at the time, in 1900, the Germans was the most advanced country on the planet, by far. They were more advanced than the United States or Russia combined. And so
absolutely,
that's why they went there. So we know from 1910 to 1914, the Germans were trying to build these flying saucers. Some looked like tanks, some looked like this, but none of them worked, of course. But they did seem to be getting advanced technologies out of this. Come World War II, because we're going through World War I, come World War II, the Nazis were trying to use this to build. So they actually had built this round-shaped jet. They never got to use it because the war was over, which would have been a game changer. Their first jet would have been a game changer if they could have got it in mass production, far beyond before the United States or Russia was planning to send jets up. They were just way more advanced. So it looks like they had been given this ship. Well, at the end of the war, the U.S. claimed that damn ship. We took it. That's the one, Roswell crashed. We're the ones that crashed the damn thing. And we crashed it with the Greys on board. So it was a weird thing. When you talk about Roswell, there's two crash sites. There's Roswell and there's Corona. Roswell, this thing went down with a couple of Greys in it. It sounds like an escape craft or maybe some type of pod, and it broke up on impact, because any interstellar ship is not going to break up on impact. It may go get stuck in the dirt or something, but anything that can travel faster than speed of light or travel through wormholes, the kind of pressures it's going to take, the material is going to be built out of, it's not going to break up on impact. It's not going to happen. And so they found another ship at Corona with four bodies, but these bodies look more like human bodies, but they were just kind of starting to melt. There was pinkish red. There's three, a father and two Boy Scouts ran up on it. And fortunately for us, before they disappeared them, they actually gave the story to two other people. That's how we found out about it. And so there's two crashes, and then one escape craft, and those, a couple of them Grays died, and then the other Grays were taken to Area 51 for interrogation, and I think it went the other way around. I think the Gray actually wasn't, because the Gray's psychic ability is so far beyond ours. I don't think the whole base's concentration could have took on just one Gray. Yeah, he probably had him seeing things, freaking out on things. All kind of nightmare shit going on.
Yeah.
And but they did allow us. They did. The Gray did stay for a while. I don't know how long. And I do hear one comes and goes from time to time. And they did allow us to keep the craft. What's interesting about it is still to this day, we can't figure out what it's made out of. And because it's a Gray craft, it's one of those ones you have to intermerge with. And humans can't seem to quite merge with it, even though they said that the first people in the first ship did manage to merge somewhat, but because they couldn't fully merge, it's what it crashed. And people get mad at me because you're changing Roswell. I said, well, sometimes you need to change things when they're broke. I rewrote the Betty and Barney Hill case, and I was right. They weren't. And then I rewrote, you know, sometimes like Roswell, and I didn't rewrite Roswell. I was just one of the ones that helped rewrite it, but I was talking with Jim Mars about it, and Jim agreed. He's like, oh, no, that's a much better scenario than what the humans tried to say. Because bottom line is, no alien race is going to let us keep this spacecraft unless they want to. It's just like when the Chinese got ours and sent it back in pieces. Regardless, we were going to go get it. We were going to know we gave them dead days, and if you didn't return it by this day, we were coming to get it, and we were going to come get our ship, just like we were coming to get our people because we weren't going to leave behind. Well, this race is so far beyond us. I mean, they can just hover over our base, take anything they want anytime they want to. They can move things around through thought, or they can make us see things. And so, you know, the Gray could have left anytime they wanted to. They could have took their ship back anytime they wanted to. But it does seem like they wanted us to keep it. But I think they wanted us to keep it more for what we found from their escape pod. Because in the Roswell Journal, it was only up for about 3 days, they had a picture of what looked to be a microchip. Like the microchips we used to say, it's still more advanced than the ones we used to say, but still look like a microchip.
Right.
What we would call aircraft aluminum, what we would call fiber optics, all seem to be in aircraft. This is all stuff that we didn't even invent for 20 years after that. But it's all stuff we incredibly use today. So we may have, and they may have left us have it for that reason, because there was no weapons on board that ship, no fastened light travel on board that ship. It's rumored that's where we're getting our ram scoop engines from, is from that particular design. Which, matter of fact, we just fitted one to a hypersonic missile just today and shot it around the place. I think it travels at Mach 5, Mach 6. So these kind of things, they probably left us. The saucer is more like a joke. It's like, well, one day these idiots will figure out how to learn. And imagine any time we can get to start that one of them appears instantly. They're probably like, whoa, wait, what's going on? Because they would like to see us do it. You know, it's probably a lesser piece of technology. It's been around now for 100 years almost. It has been 100 years. So, you know, I'm sure it's not the most advanced thing they're flying. And or maybe for them, advancements are different. That may be at such a high level that it take long. But regardless, they left us keep the craft. And I know it's still there because I got some friends that I know that's been involved. But then I talked with well, we'll just say two generals and leave it at that. I met it's funny, because I do some work for Writers of the Future, and I met the two-star and the three-star general for Space Command out at Writers of the Future the last 2 years, which is interesting. These are some interesting characters. They really believe in defending some space, and they really think there's something we need to be defended from, which I found was interesting. The only other president that talked about it was Ronald Reagan. He thought we needed to be defended for something. He actually instigated programs to defend us from it. And then here comes Trump doing the same thing. What is it these guys knew that we didn't? I mean, people don't realize, but, you know, Hawk facilities up there punching holes around our ionosphere, pine gas down there, listening to everything that even moves anywhere, anyhow, any fast, anything.
Oh, sure.
And then we built Star Wars that were supposed to be shooting down Russian missiles that had lasers big enough to shoot down a freaking city. I'm like, well, what are these for? You're not mounting these on anything. These things are definitely not designed to blow up a missile.
Space weapons.
You know, and then he's the only president that got up there and said, hey, look, you know, what's it going to take? An alien invasion for us to become friends again? Because, you know, one might be coming.
Well, you know, Reagan, as you know, stood at the UN, and Reagan really thought an alien invasion was not so much imminent, but that it could happen in our lifetimes.
Yeah, he had. Well, you got to wonder. He knew something because he instituted all three of those programs: Pine Gap, HARP, and the Star Wars program. He knew, he had a piece of information that suggested that something is coming, and whether it's aliens, something else. Because a lot of these reports that all these presidents, and then there's a report that that Reagan met was actually in a saucer on the Nimitz, and was, I think it was 83 or 84. I have to go look it.
I've heard of that. Yeah.
Yeah. So I mean, stuff like that. You do hear, but I think those are more for like, look, there's nothing you can do about the alien abductions. Stop screwing with our stuff, because if you don't, we're going to screw you up. Because one thing about the Greys, especially the Greys, reptilians and humans are bad about this too, but the Greys are really bad about this. They don't like military abduction. So if you come take, especially if it's one of their advanced contactees, like one of the keepers who actually knows stuff, they get offended by it. The Greys will actually come remove them. Sometimes they may kill everybody in the damn room. They're very funny about you screwing with their contactees. And that's another thing that was in the movie Taken. It was funny that was in there, but they don't even like it a little bit. That's especially too, because some of the Greys and reptilians and humans start to think of us like, man, my pet really knows some stuff now. The reptilians think of us a little bit more than pets. The reptilians think of us as family, because for them, their lineage or what they are is passed down through their genes. So sometimes contactees, because they share the same family line, some of those contactees have these vivid recollections of things they think they've done. They didn't actually do them, like, you know, the great-grandfather reptilian went and did it, but they've got that memory in their head. It's just there. It's part of their DNA. All their knowledge is passed through generations. And the reptilians have great libraries that you can allow their contactees to visit. They have an arts and culture. When you think of them as reptilians, it's kind of giving them a bum thing, because they're a very advanced race with the single religions. And they have one somewhere on Earth. It's just great dome, and they have these little orbs that you can just touch, and when you think, whatever you're thinking about comes up. Huge libraries. They're really into this stuff. It just depends. And they're going to other races. It's just, they're funny. Like, the cleanup crew, every now and then they're allowed on Earth. When for some reason something goes drastically wrong, they have an alien crew that comes in, not just other worlds too, and cleans up stuff. But for the most part, that's why people got confused with Whitley, the whites, and the grays. They have white grays, they have brown grays, and they have the, what we like to call the multicolor grays, because most of the time they're white. And three of them are their food. So.
Okay. When are you going to be back on Ancient Aliens? I was just at their Phoenix tour here in downtown Phoenix at the Orpheum Theater. It's world-renowned, and I saw the Ancient Aliens crew, so to speak, right? They were there. It was a really good symposium, and they're going around the country doing the show. What do you think you'll be back on that TV program?
You know, I haven't written to them about anything in a while. Usually if you write to them with something that's decent, they'll offer you to come on. They're really good people. I've been on like four times, I think. And every time they've treated me really well. They flew me up to New York one time, flew me out to D.C., put me up in the Mandarin Hotel in the Emperor's Suite overlooking the Brockle's bedroom. Flew me out to L.A., kept me out there for 5 days, took real good jammies, sent a couple of gavers. Matter of fact, looks like we might have got a Netflix gig out of that one. So,
Cool.
Well, we're working on a gig now. What this is we're going to be redoing re-abductions. What a dummy. Sorry, my brain went. Well, basically what we're going to be doing
it
is
reenactments. Sure.
Yeah, we're going to be doing reenactments. For contactee, so we're going to have the contactee, have them meet the contactee, do the base story, and then they're going to do the complete reenactment. Then I'm going to narrate their reenactment, and it's the first two look really good. We're just going to see, you know, I know the first one, the pilot goes out. I think it's going to go out the end of this year, so we'll see how it does. It's supposed to be 2 years, 14 episodes each year.
Gosh.
So we'll see what happens. Maybe,
so
maybe
cool.
Not. It's I had Michelle on the station. She's done more TV than probably most of the people in ufology. She gives Tukaloff a run to his money. She does a lot of TV. She makes a great station manager as well. And she's probably cussing me right now because she don't know where I'm at. Where's my numbers? I can hear it now. Where's my numbers?
Right. Well, Joe, are there more alien abductions going on now or about the same? How would you characterize that?
More now, but it's just because there's more people on the planet. It grows exponentially with the amount of people on the planet. And the more that, but you know, it's interesting though, is aliens look at us a little bit different today as modern humans. We know a little bit more, we're a little bit smarter. But through all history, humans have always been willing to work with them. Even though they've been taken against their will, and but then humans have, you know, there's like keepers and communicators, contactees and stuff. These are people who somewhere along the line realize that these guys ain't near as evil as they thought they were. And they want to get involved with what they're doing. And they want to help, you know, the keepers really are there just to help other people who are being taken, especially abductees, like when they have the children aboard the ships. You know, because most people don't realize this, abduction starts pre-birth and all the way through life until you're no longer useful. And then your kids get abducted. That's what really irks a lot of people, because their kids are getting abducted. There's nothing they can do about it. But people, different people are like, there's a lot to learn here. They start getting downloads. They start learning about the cosmos. They start learning about how craft work. They get a better idea what the aliens are doing here and what they want. And it changes them. And, of course, they go out and help other people, and it changes the other people. And it makes the alien life easier. They don't have many people. And now, you know, they always keep, all three of the races keep one of those big motherships. I say motherships. They're like the size of our moon or bigger. But these things are great, you know. When I first started about the black-eyed children, I thought they were demons like everybody else, you know, ghosts or something. Talking to these contactees, and like, no, Joe, there's another alien race. We see them on board the ship all the time. I'm like, get out of here.
Alien race. They're not demonic. Everyone thought they were demonic entities. They're actually an alien race, the black-eyed kids. They knock on doors late at night, really?
Yeah, they're 500. Well, there might be two different things we're talking about here, but we've got over 500 contacts these guys said they've seen them on board their gray ship, and they interact with us just like they're us. They're along the same technical logical line. They also do stuff like we do, like keepers and communicators and stuff like that.
They're evil. They get a bad vibe from them. And
When the contactees talk to them, they hang out with them on the ships. They go eating. They said they're just like us, but they have these weird dark eyes. And sometimes they're present at abductions here, and sometimes we're present at abductions on their home world. It's almost like the Greys are saying, look, we're going to expand y'all and let y'all visit other worlds now. And so it's interesting when you hear them talk about it. And they do. They talk about them hanging out in their ships, going to hologram rooms together, going to wherever they eat. It's the whole thing that's so strange when you hear about them. And it took me a long time because I was like, oh, man, I always get in trouble with the paranormal field. I'm already – I got in this ghost one night and they're going on. I said, did you ever think that ghosts might be dimensional leaders? Oh, shit, I should have never said that. Matter of fact, a couple people still give me trouble about it. I'm like, it might have been dimensional leaders. I mean, I don't know. You can't just assume that they're just dead people floating around waiting to get across the other side. I said, whales are always touching. We know the multiverse. And then I got in trouble because I said, well, what do we need reincarnation for anymore if we got the multiverse? When there's every one of you living at every moment all over the world, all over the universe, I mean, all over the multiverse, there's 100 trillion of you living 100 trillion different versions of your life. You might be king somewhere, you might be emperor, you might be the axe murderer somewhere. I said, so what the hell do you need reincarnation for? And they're like,
astrophysicists say that's the real reality, that the real reality is so bizarre that you wouldn't even believe it. And I believe there's a lot of truth to that.
Yeah, well, when you look into these kind of things, it makes you stop and think that maybe we've been wrong and now it's time to update because we've learned more. You know, in the old days, past lives is a great thing. But why past lives? Why? I mean, if you're existing at every moment, every time, on everything, that means sooner or later everybody's going to die and y'all are going to pop back to being one soul somewhere. I don't understand what we need reincarnation for. Unless we're going to reincarnate and everybody's going to reincarnate and everybody keep experiencing different things, when you could just experience everything and pop back in one being and everybody would know everything at one time. So it's,
well, they
so
say we keep coming back till we get it right, right? We keep coming back until we perfect our lives or our soul. But what's your take on the praying mantis? All the alien abductees seem to say they're on the big mothership, right? They're walking around when they recall this through hypnosis, and they see the praying mantis kind of ordering around the grays. Is that an accurate description, or is there more to add to that story?
The praying mantis are like puppets, I guess is the best way to describe it. They're used to intimidate contactees because grays aren't really intimidated. Most grays use their psychic abilities. They're not really all that intimidating, and they don't want to use force if they don't have to. But using these things, because it's funny, we always get the same descriptions, and they're usually menacing looking, and they kind of want to be menacing looking at you sometimes.
Yeah, always like 8 feet tall, menacing, large, no expression. And I saw one the other day where the guy said he walked through the mothership, the grays escorted him in, the praying mantis motioned, and he saw humans in these optical or these bags hanging from the ceiling like in a solution in this dark chamber on board the mothership. Really strange stuff.
They're really used more for puppets than anything else. They're really grays needed something that was menacing. Besides, you know, they don't want to use the reptilians of the humans because that puts them into their business. So they needed something they thought was, you know, because a lot of times, a lot of descriptions of the praying mantis, they're sitting there and watching an abduction or in a place where they can watch the abduction in there. Sometimes they'll bring their mentals real close to them and stuff. But as far as I know, no one's actually been eaten by one yet. I mean, I haven't seen
that
any personal accounts. I haven't heard them where they scared Jesus out of them to the point where you wanted to die. But, you know, it's hard because you get these descriptions and you don't know if it's a plan or not. You know, because a lot of times, a lot of these memories are planned memories. You know, so we have planted memories. We have a couple of different types of memories. We have cover memories, which the military loves to use. The reptilian, the aliens don't use it as much anymore. They use they like to use looped memories now, where they take something that you do all the time and they just loop it as your memory, and you don't question it because it is. But sometimes they use other types of memories. You know, so back in the old days, I just saw those deers. I saw those owls right after the abduction or right before. Those are trigger memories is what those are. Those are set to remind just what flying saucers are. They're trigger memories too. Those are memories to let you know, oh, shit, something just happened. And not to forget, it's something to help you to keep remembering to figure out that something just happened to you. Those are trigger memories. But they are just standard cover memories as well, where they cover stuff that they don't want you to go back and challenge. And they'll generally cover it with something that scares the bejesus out of you. And you won't go back and challenge. And then, of course, there's the MILAB cover memories, which is an entirely different thing. They usually use a mix of sodium anethol, sodium pentothal, and if they have a good telepath, so they'll do a sometimes they just use hypnosis, but if they have a good telepath available, they'll use a telepathic form of hypnosis along with the two drugs. And generally, you can get them to one or get them to remember anything you want. The problem for them is if the aliens find out, they just get pissed. They're just like, oh, no, what did you just do? No, we can't have that. And if they think they extracted information that could be useful, they may just disintegrate the whole bunch of them. Like,
okay,
no,
and someone in our chat room also mentioned about the dragonflies, Joe, that are the size of Volkswagens from a team of voices.
Well, you know, it's funny about that. You know, it's funny when you say that because there are races, there are places, I should say, where a lot of these races are. So there's a world where the humans go, they're slightly altered from what we look right now because it's a little different gravity and stuff. But they say that this stuff like pterodactyls, big, huge dragonflies, a lot of different things that may have existed here at one time, it simply doesn't exist here anymore, but used to exist. And there's worlds out there where one of the races, for some reason, saved them, brought them there for whatever reason. It's just strange. Pretty much everything you can imagine these days is out there on some world hanging out somewhere.
God,
but there's a lot
amazing.
Of places like there's a world. Well, here's one for you. This one's a little different. So the cleanup crew I was talking about earlier, these guys are usually about 5 foot tall. They're brown. They're wrinkly looking. They're
ornery, mean-ass looking little shits is what they are. Well, in their home world, they're the race that gathers all the debris from around the other races and disposes of them. Contactees who have been there say there's big, huge vats of what they would consider blood, human blood, alien blood, whatever. There's body parts being moved along and hung, just like a butcher shop. But everything that goes there did before it was there. So they're not allowed to kill anything to bring it there, but it already did before it goes there. And for some reason, every now and then a contactee ends up there. Maybe they were along with another cleanup. I know there was a group, there was an accident in Seattle, and where two contactees got killed, and there was nothing they could do about it. So they were sent to remove them, and I guess one of the contactees went with them for some reason or another. But they described this place. This place sounds something right out of a horror movie. And the whole race does it. It's like the whole race, their whole structure of their race is to do this. It's like to be the cleanup crew of the galaxy. And but only for a lot of things that were alive, not like debris and stuff, just that kind of stuff. And they really, they're just huge. That's overflowing. They got like these mud huts all over where they live, right? And you said you go inside the mud hut, the damn thing's all inside, like super advanced. She says she was going from outside, just looks like a mud hut. Inside, it looks like, wow. They got computer-looking things and all kind of, you know, electronics and all, just all kind of service stuff. And it's just so weird. It's such a contrast from inside and outside. So at one time, we know they must have been a mud fair and digging race or something because that's where they live. But they talk about them. You know, you hear them talk about other races that they are on board the ships that can't come to Earth. They talk about a lot of different races that are out there. Like there's an inset toy race that seems to be just fine with hanging out with the other aliens. They don't seem to be any problems. It's almost like they use these ships to help humans, and or not just humans, like the black-eyed people, other races that are around our same technological and mental state. They must use these ships to get everybody used to each other, to help them learn that there are other worlds, other aliens, and we can all, you know, get along without killing each other or eating each other. Because right now the humans would lose against pretty much everybody out there. Yeah, there are races less advanced, and there are races advanced as we are. And there are races that are just a few hundred years more advanced than we are, but there are races that are way more advanced than we are.
Absolutely. And Joe, these aliens are different races, right, from each other?
Yeah.
Like the Nordics to the Greys to whoever.
But it gets confusing with all these names because. I mean, some people
would you call it a different species or race? Yeah.
They're different species because, you know, you got the grays, which are – and so the grays basically come in, like I said, about three or four colors, and they got three-foot grays, four- or five-foot grays, about six-foot grays, and then there's a seven-foot set, I guess, would be servant grays, and then the queen is around 9 foot tall. The whole thing is set up a beehive. Or like an insect, like a beehive or an ant hive.
Mm-hmm.
It's more set up like ants and bees. And it's almost, the cast system's almost based on height because the 3 foot grays are really intelligent. I mean, they're the ones that usually do all the experiments. They're the ones that come get you and move you from your house and do all that stuff. The four to 6 foot grays, the 4, 5, and 6 foot grays, they're in lots of different programs and projects they're running. The 7 foot grays seem to run oversee everything. And most of the other guys seem to be subservient to whatever it is. And they also seem to be subservient to the queen, who seems to run it all. So they're a very strange race. They're a very advanced race. They've really been around a long, long, long time. And they really understand the universe. And, you know, it's funny, though, because they do practice what we would consider a religion. And so do the reptilians and the humans for that. They both practice a religion. And it's interesting that the Vatican thinks that the aliens are closer to God than we are. That's actually been said more than once.
Yeah, I've heard of that before. They seem to have, they said they think the aliens have more knowledge of God than we do.
Mm-hmm. So, I was speaking with Monsignor Baltasucci about this in Washington, D.C. at the press club. And I had to have Paula Harris translate because I didn't speak Italian, and that was the last thing he told me was, look, the Vatican definitely believes that these aliens are closer to God than we are. They've been around so long, they really truly understand what God is, and we truly, truly don't. It's not just him, though, because I was the one who broke the story originally, and then, which is, God, it's like 25 years ago. And then I met the Vatican's astronomer, the first, the second one, and he also said that. And then about a year ago, I met a cardinal at a conference. He came actually to see me. And he said, look, I wanted to verify something. I know I've heard you talk about this before. I'm like, really? You've heard me talk about this before? You listen to my show? He's like, yeah. And I was like, okay. And he said, it is
right.
True that we do believe that the aliens are closer to God than we are. Because, frankly, they're, you know, if the graves are 1 billion years old, then, of course, they're going to be closer to the Creator than we are because they've simply been around longer and, you know, been dying and praying longer than we have. I mean, humans are 2 million years old, and we've only been believing in God for 2,000 years. For them, it's a much different thing. And they probably look at it much differently. And the reptilians have a single religion. They believe in a single God. And they're very strange about their religion. It's a whole part of their society. But the reps are more set up like a caste system, like a warrior caste, a lover caste, religious caste, or library caste, whatever. It's like 7 or 9 castes. And plus that, what's interesting about the reptilians is they come different colors, different shapes, and different abilities. So some of them may have wings. Some of them may have they'll have lungs, but they'll have gills. They have different abilities. Even though they're all about the same, they all have, you know, so they're old race too. They say they're 400 or 500 million years old, not as old as the graves. And the humans are supposed to be an old race, and they're supposed to be two of the biggest colony races out there, territory-wise. So, you know, they probably are kept an eye on all the time.
Interesting. Well, Joe, you've been very gracious with your time tonight, and we really, really want to thank you for coming on the Von Weehan Show. And we could talk for hours. This is a fascinating subject, I know, to me and my audience. And the chat room has been very lively. All during the week, people were emailing me and said, you're having Jim Montalto on. I go, yes, we are. And what's your final thoughts to America and the alien agenda? Anything you wish to impart to our audience tonight and for the future, sir?
Well, if I tell y'all about the alien agenda, they're just going to come hunt y'all down and kill y'all, so I'm not going to do that to y'all. But the problem with the alien agenda is there's alien agendas. And there's quite – we could do a whole show on the ones we could talk about, just some we can't talk about, but we could do a whole show on the ones we can talk about. So all I can tell you, people, if you're a contact here, don't be scared. They're not there to eat you. They're not there to kill you. They're there for the projects they're running. If you're a child, you're not going to have any fear. Once you get through puberty, it gets way better. It's unfortunately, from puberty to about age 28 is when they decide to do all their breeding experiments and other physical, mental breakdown experiments to see what makes us tick. And they do it all the time to each generation because we change generation by generation. So I said, well, haven't they learned? I said, they have learned, but each generation is different, so they test every generation. And it does. It's not bad, but remember this. They block these memories out so you don't have to remember them. So people ask me all the time, and this is something y'all can take away with y'all. If you're going to get hypnotized, first find somebody who knows what they're doing. Find somebody who has some morals. But know this. Once you let the leopard out of the bag, it's going to start eating stuff. So, you know, there's no going back, people. There's no, you can't put it back in the bag. There's no hiding it. It's in your head now. Whatever it may be, it may not even actually be alien stuff. It could be something entirely, it could be some type of molestation or something. So think hard and long before you get hypnotized, and always bring someone with you you explicitly trust, and bring your own tape recorder on so you know. Because we video and audio everything. We even run a voice stress analysis while we're doing it. And we bring somebody with us, and we make somebody bring somebody with you. We're very strict about hypnosis. And but know that once it's out, it's going to be hard to put it back. And if it's something that you can't deal with, or it's something that's really scary, or it's something that's just plain hateful, you're not getting rid of it. Or it's just something like, where you've seen them rip off a body part and put it back on, or take your eyes out of your head and turn around so you can see yourself. That's stuff you're not going to be able to get out of your head. It's stuff you're going to have to incorporate into your life and learn how to do. So keep that in mind. You can be hypnotized. Just stay away from those particular areas. There's nothing in there. There might be some stuff in there that might actually be good, which this is, you know, PG-17 shows, so we're not going to talk about it, but other than that, for the most part, it is not. It's hairy, scary, and you're going to wish you never remember those memories. And remember, if you've seen a UFO, this is my take. You don't have to believe me on this. I don't believe anybody sees a UFO by accident. If you've seen a UFO, you were either being taken or put back. Because ET doesn't have to show itself. It doesn't have to show its ships. It can fly all around the world without ever being seen. But for some reason, when it picked up you, Marjorie, it decided to show itself. Why is that? Because it was picking you up or putting you back. And when if your whole town sees it, you can bet your butt the whole town got taken. Just like in Mexico City, 22 million people, 23 million people there. Ship hovered for 24 hours. 1 million people saw it. And you know what? When you started putting in 1 million people under hypnosis, guess what they were? Contactees. The other 22 million people did not see this thing hovering over the city for 20. Even though the mayor saw it, the police chief saw it, Howie Mason was out there filming it, but the rest of the town didn't see it because they couldn't see it. They weren't contactees. They weren't exposed to it. Abductees and contactees are exposed to it so they can see it. Everybody else is whistling Dixie. And if you don't believe me, think of it this way. There's 8 billion people on the planet right now with 4.5 billion cameras, and we're taking less pictures today than we did in the 70s and 80s. Take that home.
Wow.
Take that in your peace pipe. Yeah.
Yeah. I love it. Joe Montaldo, folks. We appreciate you, Joe. Great show. Great interview. We'll have you on again. Fascinating material, man. I want to thank you from the Von Wien Show. Audience has loved it. And connect again soon, sir. Appreciate you, man.
Anytime, baby. You know I love coming and talking to you.
I love it. Thank you, sir. Have a great night, Joe.
Hey, baby. You too. Thanks, baby.
Good night. May the force be with you, sir.
You too.
Thank you. Well, folks, if you were listening in, we were talking to Joe Montaldo, the co-founder, international director, and spokesperson for ICAR, the International Community for Alien Research. He's also been on the hit TV show Ancient Aliens numerous times and spoken to Vatican officials and the government officials as well from around the world. We're so glad we have had him. He's got a wealth of information. We could talk for days and months and years about the UFO agenda, the aliens among us, et cetera. Joe Montaldo has been studying and researching the UFO reports and sightings and the alien abduction phenomenon for decades. As an abduction researcher for over 35 years, Joe Montaldo, again, is uniquely qualified to bring the Von Wiegand Show listeners and everyone else chiming in with the intel and the latest information that he has in ufology. His website, UFO Undercover, also brings you some of the most revealing and current research being done on alien abductions and alien contact. Wow. Well, we're into our show overtime. We're not leaving yet. We will get to a few calls. Gunslinger is up first. But first, have a little intermission. And I shall return in a few moments, I guarantee it.
We come from way out past Alpha Centauri, and as we're here on planet Earth observing your ways, we're listening to the Von Wien Show. It's on the Internet Radio Galaxy.
Stardate 2476.5, carry the 3. This, Captain Kirk from the USS Enterprise. Being here on planet Earth, as I have taken my crew and stumbled upon the rioters in downtown. And because of this, we have suffered loss. That's right. Mr. Spock has been killed. And now we stand in the wake of that loss right now. Chekhov, yes, well, what can I do for you?
Captain, I'm so sorry for the loss of colleague and beloved friend, Mr. Spock. I'm so sad.
Yes, Chekhov, get a hold of yourself. We've got to be strong for Spock and for each other. And to keep on keeping on so we're not brought down by the senseless activities of these people that are burning up, looting and smashing windows, glass buildings, assaulting people, yelling profanity. We've got to stay strong for Spock.
I will try, Captain. It is so hard at this time, you know.
I understand, old man. Keep it strong. Keep up. I'm with you. We will make it. We'll make it through this. Just have to stand strong together. And in the end, I've concluded that we do have to stand together for civilization, or we will lose the population in this civilization. And that is exactly what we do not need to do.
We need to stand together, be strong, work together, fight for the right thing. And the right thing sometimes is complicated.
That is for sure, Captain. That is very true.
Yes, yes, Chekhov, it is. But remember now we have to get together. And we have to put Spock into the space capsule casket and shoot him off into the galaxy and then search for him again this next episode and find him again and bring him back alive.
We can do that, Captain.
Remember, we did that last time. He's still got a contract. He can't just leave us and die. He's part of our crew. He's one of our homeboys, you know.
It is true. Yes, homeboy. All right.
All right. Get yourself together, old man. Let's get him together. We've got to send him out here. We've got a mission to accomplish, to keep going. And we'll be back again later. Meanwhile, it's on with the Von Wehan Show.
The Von Wehan Show is on a mission from God.
Stardate 2476.5. We've been here on the surface of the planet for a couple days now, with awaiting the Starfleet fuel merchants to make it by so that we can update our fuel card and get fuel for the USS Enterprise. Spock has been working on the radio transmitter so that we can receive and understand messages. So far, we have received messages and radio waves that have given us a man called Von Wehan, who is on the radio. Is that correct, Spock?
That's totally logical, Captain.
Thank you, Spock. Yes, belabor the obvious. It's the Von Wehan Show. It's on right now. So tune in, as we will be.
Damn right. Well, get your cocktail, get your crash helmet on, and we shall be back after these messages. From Star Wars to Star Trek to the Imperial March, it's amazing what's out there in the cosmos and the universe, isn't it? Darth Vader, the iconic person, is out there. Astrophysicists say that Darth Vader exists They believe he does exist. He sounds like this.
Don't be too proud of this technological terror you've constructed. The ability to destroy a planet is insignificant next to the power of the Force.
Let's get to the phones, and the Gunslinger is up next. Let's get him up on the show. Gunslinger, have you ever been abducted by aliens? Yes or no?
Well, not from the ones up there, but maybe from the ones coming across the border here in Texas.
Exactly. No doubt, man. It's a crazy world. We have illegal aliens coming in. Much closer to home, right, than having to worry about outer space, for God's sake. But they both go hand in hand.
Well, they're both illegal.
That's right. That's right. They're both entering our airspace, man, you know?
In the airspace, yeah, exactly. Look right there, it. Got that right. Interesting person there for your guest. I agree with most of it. It's, you know, basically what it boils down to is, that, you know, God, quote unquote, is not going to give us dumbasses, the human beings down here, even the intelligent ones, the secrets to the universe. Okay, it's not going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, us carbon-based life forms. Are you kidding? We kill each other. We can't get along with each other. But God's going to give us the secrets to the universe? Nah, I don't think so. Okay. They may give the aliens, the advanced aliens, the good, I'm going to say the good aliens, because remember when heaven split, you know, half the angels went to the dark side, you know, so you could call them the aliens, I guess. Okay. So that's
right.
Never going to happen. You know, that's not going to happen. Now, are these things down here on this planet? Probably. I'm not saying that they're not, because we don't even know how this freaking planet works 100%. We don't know the mysteries of what lies below your feet right now, where you're sitting, where I'm sitting, where anybody else is sitting. And we damn sure don't know what's out there. Okay. Sure, you could got telescopes out there. You could look at there, and you could see, and you could speculate, and all this good and great and wonderful things, but you don't know what's really out there because you ain't been out there. At least not that we know of, the general population down here anyway. You know, that Hubble Space Telescope see billions of light years in any direction, I guess. Okay.
Isn't that amazing?
The Earth is,
yeah.
Right? That's absolutely amazing. That's one of the reasons I got into the master electrician, electrical engineer thing, is because I study electricity. Okay. And electricity is a common factor throughout the universe, believe it or not. There are lightning storms on planets. That's electricity. Same lightning that we got here is found out there. So there's a common denominator there throughout the universe that we know of. So, you know, when people can say, well, the star is right there. No, it's not. That star that you're looking at, well, look at the sun. It's 93 million miles away. Okay, 93 million miles away. And most of those stars out there are light years away. And people that doesn't understand what a light year is, it's the distance that light travels in the spectrum of 1 year at 186,000 miles per second. Do the math. Okay? I mean, star out there could blow itself up a million years ago, and we just may now see it go poof because the light is now reaching. Okay, and that's physics. That's proven physics. Okay, and just like when you shine your flashlight, turn your flashlight on for a second and turn it off, you created light. Okay, it's gone because your eyes can't see it, But that little inch of light that you created with that flashlight continues forever. The only thing that can act upon it, as we know of, is either a black hole, and that's by gravitational traction, okay, or bending of light. Light can bend, believe it or not. But it can't be destroyed. Okay, once light's created and it's on, you send it on its way, it's there forever. So where's it going? There's a lot of space out there. Okay, a lot of space that we have no idea. We can't even figure out how the Earth works. Nobody's ever been to the center of the Earth. Nobody even knows what's down there. Okay, could there be another
world? Right.
Hell, I don't know. Okay, anything.
That's what
possible.
They say.
Okay.
The inner Earth theory. Yes.
The hollow earth theory, yeah. And what about all these spacecraft that they've seen and wrote in, what is that, hieroglyphics back in the Egyptian times and on
hieroglyphics.
Walls,
on the
all
pyramids.
These, the pyramids, yeah. All these things showing these crafts with these things on it coming down to the earth. What the hell? Was they drunk? I mean, was they stoned?
That's right, and they all said the same thing. Whether you're in South America, Mexico, Egypt, or Asia, they all claim that beings on flying machines came down to planet Earth and showed us, what you know, they gave us technology and intel, and they were trying to help us originally. They were the original watchers, let's say, of the Earth.
I don't know why aliens would be interested. That's really fantastic stuff. Yeah, it is. I really don't know why aliens would be interested in a dumb bunch of dumbasses like humans, okay, when they're supposed to be so technologically advanced, okay?
I'll tell you why.
When they can travel.
Because they created us, is what some people say. Or at least they see God created the cosmos, but they had the technology to seed planet Earth or terraform it. We're like one big experiment to them. They're probably curious, how's the experiment turning out, you know?
Yeah, I've heard that. I've heard that theory many, many times over the decades. Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe our women are better tasting or something.
Oh, they
like
love
that.
Our women. That's right.
They must. But, yeah, that's true. I mean, you know, it could be a gigantic experiment. I mean, we could be pigs in an experiment.
And that doesn't negate God. God created the cosmos and everything in it, yet the aliens were in advance, say, a million years ahead of us. They have the technology to come here. We could have been a beautiful planet that had nobody on it. We use the Garden of Eden story, but they could have terraformed it. And then God could have done the Garden of Eden, but then they could have came in later and and change our DNA and try to change over the human race to make us more like them, because we could be their grand experiment. Who knows?
Yes, absolutely. Who knows? I mean, you don't know what goes on out there. I mean,
that's right.
Only God knows, and that thing's not speaking right now on that subject anyway. So you don't know whether these things exist out there. They have to, because, like I said, think about this. You think God created all that out there just for us? Let that soak in for a minute. All
makes
that out
no
there
sense.
That we don't even know where the universe ends at, for God's sakes, quote unquote.
There's
okay.
tens of thousands of worlds and life forms that are already out
billions,
there. We don't even know.
Billions.
Billions
probably.
Of
millions
life forms. Absolutely. Billions.
And people think
I think God is that big. He's that big that he, you know, and a typical man, if God is a male, and I think he is, he would have wanted to create a million or a billion worlds with different animals and creatures just to see what would happen. That's sort of a male point of view. Like, who's going to find the road to peace? Who's going to always be at war? It'd be fascinating for God to look back and go, wow, check this out. You know, I mean, I just think that's exactly what only a man would create, a lion, a rhino, a giraffe, and then pack them all together on the African continent to see what would happen. You know, I can't see a female God doing that. But I can see where a man would want to experiment and go, let's see what this happens. Let's put these two together. Let's see what happens over here. You know, just my two cents worth, an alien change. Yeah.
Well, you know, look at it this way too. All these people all over the world, not just in one area, have these out of body experiences, death experiences, or whatever you want to call it. What is the main thing that they see? In, I guess, 99.99% of the cases,
the light,
a brilliant,
the light,
white light.
That's right.
Okay. What is light? It's energy. It's electricity. It's pure energy. Okay. So would
pure
that
energy.
Not kind of say to go and say that God could be a pure energy being?
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure he could be.
Sure.
Because and he can manifest himself, Jesus or anybody else, with that power.
God
absolutely.
Could be my pen. God could be the pen I'm holding in my hand right now. Anything.
That's right.
Anything.
He could manifest into anything.
Into anything. So when you see that pure white light, which doesn't blind you, look at the sun. You look at the sun, it'll blind you. But they claim that you look at this light, it doesn't blind you, but it's brighter than the sun. That's pure energy. What is lightning? Lightning is white. It's white, pure energy. So put two and two together. Put two and two together. I mean, what else is there? You know?
I know.
I'm baffled.
Oh,
on
it's,
that. You know?
It's the one thing that people come back from the dead. And I've read up on a lot of their stories and seen their videos. Interesting, fascinating stuff. The one common theme that I glean from those things, Gunslinger, is they always say in a roundabout way, in different ways, of course, different dialects, but they always say, you have no clue how big, keyword, how big God is. How big he is. We think of him as just monitoring the earth and, you know, no, you have no clue. They said I was, you know, they'll tell you these fantastic stories. They were, you know, they were sailing with God through the cosmos by the planets, and they felt totally safe in their cocoon. And they said he showed me the universe. He showed me his creation. And they go, you'll have just no – and we went through it, they said, so fast. But, yeah, I still they will tell you, I still recall what we did. And he was told, you're not ready yet. You're going back to planet Earth, right? And they went, no, I want to stay here with you. He goes, no, you have work to do. I sent you there on a mission from God, and you've got to complete it. And then I'll take you back in. That, to me, is always what I hear, how big he is, how big the cosmos. And even today, astrophysicists tell us that the universe is constantly expanding. There's no end to it.
Oh, yeah. There's no end to it, but what we know of.
It's hard to wrap your mind around that.
It is.
Yeah, I mean, it's very hard for our finite minds to even conceptualize that. Go ahead, man.
You can theorize, okay, what it is, but that's just a theory, you know, because you got to prove that theory before it actually becomes fact. You can say anything that you want to, but until you see it with your own two eyes, basically, okay. Which would make your brain explode, because it is, like you said, it's so monstrous, huge. Your mind cannot master that, or even compensate even a fraction of it. Okay, it is so big, it's so complicated. Maybe one day we will.
Right.
I don't know, but I don't think I wouldn't hold your breath. I wouldn't hold your breath on it. You know, not anytime soon.
A guy had a great, great line. He has said, how do you put it? He goes, death is the biggest trip of all. And that's why you save it for last. I believe you're going to experience things that will, blow your mind. And in a good way, man. Well, did you enjoy the show tonight with Joe Montaldo? Wasn't he fascinating? We like to mix up the show once in a while. So I've got some more guest speakers coming up next month. I only do one or two per month. Now, our next few shows will be like our regular show, just so you know. But I've got some people that are – we have the girl coming back from Cyprus. I've got author Trudell coming in March. I've got Steve Ubaney coming in from New York, who's also an author and our website producer. So we got a lot of people lined up this spring and late winter. It's going to be fun.
Yeah, yeah. Sounds like a really interesting guest there. I mean, I've studied this my entire life. You know, like I said, I'm an electrician and master electrician engineer. I understand this stuff to a point. It's like anybody else does. Even the greatest minds on this planet can't it's just theorized. Well, I think, you know, that's a big thing in the engineering world. Well, I think, you know. So,
yeah,
who knows? But anyway, you're probably running out of time. But, hey, with the mod thing, send me the thing on my email. Did you get it?
I got it. I'll send it to you. And you're a moderator on the website on survivemax.com. And, Gunzer, glad to have you. Like I said, you'll be able to kick out the online bums, post some of your content. Just keep it in the theme of all that, and I'll put you under home defense. How's that?
Yeah. Can you put that link in the chat room before you go off? So I'll bookmark it.
I will. I sure will. I'll do it as we're speaking right now. SurviveMax.com is the website. This is the website, folks, that we're using. And thank you again, Sayer, for the call. Appreciate you, man. We'll get to another call here in a moment. I think we'll get to Kakao Kelly is up next. It's survivemax.com. It's our website. We have New York guys that are working on it. It's operational right now. You can check it out. We're going to have my podcast on there and a few other radio hosts, stories, chat rooms, forums. It's going to be big. It's going to be fantastic. Easy to remember, survivemax.com. And we'll let Gunslinger out the door here, out of the radio green room in the proper way, of course.
All right, folks. Calm down. Go about your business. These jokers will be gone soon. Now, why y'all want to come into my town and start trouble? And scare all these nice people? You ain't got nothing better to do than to come into Bill Sharp's town and show your ass.
That's right. Let's get to another call here. Kelly, she's on. Kelly, are you there tonight?
I am.
How are you doing? Yeah, I did one of those shows tonight. I love that stuff. Love space travel, astronauts, NASA, the alien agenda. Oh, man, great stuff. I watch Ancient Aliens, my favorite show. Great stuff.
Yeah. Stargate, love Stargate. Yes, there are portals on Earth. Mm-hmm. Yes. And there's vortexes up in the Sedona area actually are transporters for reptilians to come to Earth. So,
where are those located at? I'd like to see one of those.
There's several of them are outside of Sedona area. So,
I've heard of that.
Yeah. You just kind of run into them. They, you know, some are stationary and some move. So,
okay.
So, anyways, but I did have a question, and he was talking about the Rh negative blood factor.
Yes.
So.
Yes.
If somebody has that, what does that really mean?
That means, from my limited knowledge, because I've been studying this for a long time as well, that means that, here's the thing, scientists don't know, they really don't know, whoever you talk to, where Rh negative came from. They believe the current theory is that the aliens came down to Earth, say, a million years ago or whatever, and they were tampering with human DNA, and they inserted Rh negative into their DNA strand. And so they believe right now the consensus is it's alien, part alien. So that means some of your ancestors back then, if you have it, might have been abducted. They might have tampered with their DNA. Offspring came about through natural selection, etc. And here we all are. And so that's why the aliens and the UFOs like people, or they monitor people that have Rh negative in their DNA or blood.
Okay.
That's the gist of it. Now, me, I have no Rh negative, but I do know that they monitor my show because aliens are very interested in transmission. They're very into communications, things like that.
Right. Okay, yeah, because my maternal grandmother had, well, she passed on, but she had the Rh negative blood. She had three children that lived to be adults. So out of the 10.
Wow.
And but most of them actually were born alive. And lived only for 2 or 3 days.
Sad. So, sad.
Yeah, it is. But being a woman, women pass on the genes and the bloodline. Men pass on their last name, basically. So knowing this, my doctor that I had when I was having kids, he made me take baby aspirin, so that would negate the Rh negative so that I wouldn't lose any kids that way. So.
Okay.
Kind of weird, but I carry that. It's not a dominant trait, but a recessive trait in me because I don't carry it. It doesn't show itself in my kids. So, anyways.
Okay. Wow. What else did you like about the interview with Joe Montalto?
Well, I would have liked to have heard more about where he researched all this stuff. And, you know, I'm a research geek. And I'd like to have heard, where he found his.
I kind of mentioned that. He's done decades worth of actual interviews of people who claim to be abducted. He's put many under hypnosis. They're very strict about their interview process. They try to weed out the crazies, if you will, the psychos, right? So he's been doing this for decades and where he gets his intel from. Also, I mentioned he gets a lot of it from government officials. He's mentioned he knows two Air Force generals, one a two-star, one a three-star. He's met Vatican people and the Vatican astronomers who do not divulge, as you know, their information to other governments. They have secret archives of astronomical data from ancient times to now that no one's ever seen.
I know. I'd like to get a hold of that.
The Vatican Astronomical Observatory is supposedly the holder of the secrets, and in the catacombs there under the Vatican, they have data in books and ancient manuscripts that predate Christ. Goes way back.
Yeah.
What happened was. They were smart to collect it when they could. And, of course, now they microfilmed everything, so they'll never lose it. Everything is on a microfiche or, you know, it's on a CD disc somewhere or a zip drive. But they have all that information. It's under lock and key. And people have tried and tried to get in there and look at it, and they won't let them. I think they're afraid to upset the apple cart. There's probably a lot of information that's going to be too controversial, and it could involve aliens or alien spacecraft. They don't want people to – they don't want to panic. People will panic. They will. We don't know the ancient history of our planet. It's funny. We really only know history at the most back to 5,000 years ago. With the ancient Egyptians and Sumerians. Beyond that, we don't have any information. And that, to me, tells me that there's been many extinction level events on this planet where the data and the intel and history was wiped out. And each time we rebuilt, we got smart, and and that one got wiped out. Could be a meteor, could be the flood. And now we're in the, according to the ancient Aztecs and the Hopi Indians, we're in what's called the, I believe, the fourth or fifth world. And we're about to, not right away, but we're about to change over yet again. Within 100 years, I believe, they have said. So we might not see it, but... And they said the next time the Earth will be consumed by fire. How about those apples? That, to me, means nuclear war. That's how I equate it. Hopefully not, but that's what they say.
Well, before Christ can even come, the Earth has to go through a process, and one of the processes is by fire. So...
Yep, tribulation. Yeah. That's right.
Yep.
There has to be a price to be paid. Absolutely. That's like spiritual law, right? And cosmic law. It,
yeah,
to me, it's fascinating what's
something.
Out there and what we don't know. If you think about what we don't know, Kelly, it's like volumes, you know?
Right.
Crazy stuff.
That's true. And even the things that they supposedly know that they feed you that is incorrect teaching in, you know, the universities and, oh, I don't know, through other media outlets and whatnot, it's ridiculous how much stuff they don't want us to know and keep feeding us lies over.
Yes. Oh, yeah. I think our government knows far, far more than what they're letting on. As well as, in what's funny is all the big governments of the world, Britain, Russia, China, France, Germany, even Japan, all have investigators on this subject of UFOs, alien technology.
Mm-hmm.
It's widely known that we're not alone and we've been visited. And it's just, to me, it's like an obvious fact, because you go back in mythology in ancient times, and what they always say, we mentioned it during the interview. People came down from the stars in a flying, some kind of a mechanism, and they imparted some wisdom, and they flew back off. And some stayed, and some interbred with the humans, blah, blah, blah. But it's the same story no matter which continent you're on. They all say the same thing. And they told us how to build pyramids, and they told us how to – I believe all those rocks were just levitated with the alien technology and put into place. There was some slave labor involved too, but a lot of the big construction jobs, like say the Great Pyramid, I think they levitated because they said there's no way these are like 200-300 ton blocks each are that dense. And they don't know where the rocks came from. Remember, they're in the middle of a desert. There are no rocks in the Egyptian desert. Where'd they get all those rocks?
There are rocks. But they came
There's
from,
rocks, but not like that. Not where they're that dense. It's almost like those rocks are a composite, or they were transported throughout other parts of Africa. I'm not saying they weren't on the continent, but it's weird. It's just a lot of weird things. And also, we all know the pyramids, they line up with the constellation Orion. And that's a fact. And so do the Mexican pyramids. They all line up with those three stars of Orion. And I'm going, okay, these must have been spaceships from Orion that came down. And they might have been the early, you know, quote-unquote gods. You know, gods if we go to a planet in the future and they see our astronauts walk around in a spacesuit. They're going to think we're the gods, you know?
Awesome.
Could happen.
But you can't forget the Atlanteans. I mean, had abilities. Actually, they had much of the same abilities that aliens do. They could levitate things.
Yes.
They could do teleportation. They could, you know, and who's to say, okay, so depending on who you talk to, the Atlanteans had to leave their home, okay, and a lot of them made it to South America, and then all of a sudden, all these civilizations started popping up, the Aztecs, the Mayans, and the Egyptians popped up, you know. And if you take a look at some of the pictures of the pharaohs, they look kind of alien to me.
What's really fascinating is they've done the DNA on those pharaohs, and they're from Europe. They're from Europe.
Right.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Some have blonde hair and blue eyes, like the Nordic aliens. Blonde hair and blue eyes.
Well, Cleopatra was never from Egypt.
Yep. They're not right. Exactly. They are, a lot of them were the rulers. They came down from Europe and they, you know, now pop culture hates to admit that, but scientists did it. They just last a couple weeks ago, they had a mummy of a pharaoh and they said, yep, he had red hair and a blonde red hair from the continent of Europe. And he had blue green eyes. He was not brown. He wasn't an African. He was a European that ruled over Egypt.
And
of course, that flies in the face as a pharaoh. Yep. It's happened two or three times now when they dissect these bodies. They're getting back intel that flies in the face of pop culture. Because pop culture will say, oh, they were all African kings or Egyptian kings. They, no, not necessarily. I think some of the early Egyptian pharaohs were probably aliens, to be honest.
Yeah, they were. Atlanteans, aliens, is almost the same thing at this point. But, yeah, they had kings that were humans to begin with in Egypt. And then when the Atlanteans had to leave their home, they popped up into Egypt, into the Mayans and Aztecs. And that made those civilizations bigger, really, and more, progressive, I guess you could say. At that point, the pharaohs took over. They came in and they ousted the king, and then they became the pharaohs, you know, along the way. And it's like, and they had pharaohs up until the time they had, you know, their first president. So there's a lot of historical evidence for, you know.
Oh, yeah. There's so much that we're uncovering, too, and we're learning so much. There's so much to learn. But, Kelly, have a great night. Great talking to you. We're going to have a good show next week, of course. And we'll talk to you again. Have a great night for you and Irish, okay?
Okay, yeah, and one other thing. You know, I did used to live in Egypt, and, yes, I have seen the pictures on the temple walls and the pillars of the temples and everything, and they did carve pictures of spaceships and aliens.
They did. That is true. That is true. They're on the hieroglyphic walls. Yeah, I've seen those before. Eerie stuff, isn't it? Wow.
We'll talk about
that in future shows as well. It's we will do this again. I do a couple or two or three or four UFO shows a year. And we're kicking this one off with Joe Montalto, who's a big name. We'll do our own show eventually where we'll put out some more theories here. But have a great night. We're up against the clock here. I'll talk to you soon, okay?
Thanks, okay, Kelly. Sounds good. Good night.
Mm-hmm. Have a great night. Good night. Yeah, this is a deep subject that we could talk about for a long time. But tonight you heard from Joe Montalto from Ancient Aliens. We've had a great night, a lot of conjecture. We're into some serious overtime tonight. We thank you all for being here from my mountain stronghold in Arizona. I want to thank you, America. Good night. Just remember, no matter what happens, it's a beautiful world.
you. It's a beautiful world. For you. It's a beautiful world. Not me. It's a beautiful world. It's a beautiful world. It's a beautiful world. It's a beautiful world.
It's a beautiful world in cosmos and universe, America. Never forget that.